I could be a cult leader. I could get people to follow me.
This episode of the
K-Guns Last Kicker
is brought to you by
Geist Note
and Victor Wrench
and Plastic Object.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
I'm not going to take the bait here. I am not a racist, all right? I watch a lot of black porn. I mean, a lot.
Swaying back and forth. A beautiful thing taking me away. All of my most sensitive areas were inflamed. My extremities pulsated with tingling sensations.
Number 323. Where am I? I got thrown off. Something didn't go right.
That's why I'm
then.
Here, man.
So
keep you on track.
323.
That's why I get the big bucks.
It was that throbbing rock song that threw you off.
I think it is.
Yeah, it was.
I was all counting stuff and I was all going through. Yeah.
This will be one of the songs that we'll get emails. Hey, who was that? Because some of our listeners aren't from the local area.
Yeah.
So we'll get emails about this one.
And we already did on Sweep the Leg.
I'm good at...
People have asked us about Sweep the Leg.
I'm good at predicting that stuff, too. I can always tell when we're going to get, hey, who the hell was that?
Yeah, we had people asking a lot of questions once we put Sweep the Leg out. You know, it was like, hey, where's the rest, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't have a great answer for that.
I've been waiting for like 2.5 years for the rest.
Yeah.
Where's this stuff at?
Well, Dustin, why don't you go ahead and tell everyone who it is?
Well, Matt, happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday to you, Dustin.
And joining us right now with is one-fifth of Dagger Club.
Yes.
We might get a second.
Are we going to get a second?
I think we will.
Sir, go ahead and introduce yourself.
My name is Doug McGrath, and I play bass for Dagger Club.
That you do.
Co-founder of the band.
Co-founder.
Along with Peter Thomas, our vocalist, whom you know.
We give Peter a pass because he's got the longest drive.
Yeah, and he was on call tonight.
He's done it twice, too.
He could not make it because he's on call. He's a psychiatrist.
He's been over 3 times, hasn't he?
I think just twice.
I thought he came over to as... Dr. Peter Thomas, and once as
house call
Peter Thomas
of Slow Row
of Slow Roosevelt,
right before the
reunion.
Slow Roosevelt show.
Yeah,
I see there's a Slow Roosevelt set list above your head.
There is. That's from the reunion at Lola's.
Right.
Okay.
The first big one.
Nice.
I think that was it, though. I don't think he came in. We tried to get him to. I actually hit him up for some advice. They're about to lock me up, and I needed to get in touch with him about some stuff.
I hit him up for some advice last week at the. Rock Assembly.
Right.
Me too.
I was like, I need quick advice on this. You know, it's no big deal, but is this weird? And he was like, it's kind of weird.
I asked him
but
for some advice at
he's kind of tight-lipped, but he will give you advice.
I asked him if they still use ecstasy in psychological and psychiatry.
Because you wanted to go in just for that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're bringing that back, though, for PTSD. Like, a lot of doctors are experimenting with hallucinogenics.
Well, isn't that
is that like microdosing with the mushrooms or whatever?
Mm-hmm. We keep talking about mushrooms a lot.
I love it when my doctors think there's demons in my blood.
Oh,
that's an AIDS doctor.
Do you get
man.
Bled? You get have leeches when you go to the doctor?
Yeah, we're talking about the shrink. You're talking about actual AIDS doctors.
Oh,
I guess we should introduce that guy too. Because
we have another guest.
About 30 minutes ago, I got a phone call. hey guys, what are you doing? I'm running a pawn shop, and I need. I've got a garage sale.
I got to get some of this.
So that really is what this is for. This is plugging.
Yeah.
The gear.
This is. You know how on local radio there on Sundays they do swap shop. That's right. What this is. Yeah. He's going to put stuff up for offer and
it's call great. Now.
It's yeah. Like country radio.
Yeah, total country.
You
want to
put
radio.
Your first item up now?
Okay.
Zachary T's Zanatech.
Yes, thank wow. you for actually introducing me.
Good evening, Zach.
So I have an SR,
you're really
SWR
doing this.
115 base cab. I'm selling
just one.
For
wow, one, we were joking
115,
around.
The previous owner took out the tweeter, which I think makes it sound sweeter. I'm selling it for $250. Or best offer, let's make a deal.
Hey, and I will say I do endorse those SWR cabinets.
They're we'll a working they're man's cab.
I like them.
They're a working man's cab that get the job done.
Does this one have a mesh screen or a metal screen?
Metal screen.
Good. Those are the ones you need because you can tear those up.
Yeah, you
damn
can
right.
not have to worry about it. Hit it with a sledgehammer and it'll hit you back.
I got 2 6x10s myself.
We'll come back to you, Zach, for another sales special later on in the show.
Yeah, let's space
we're spread this
thank
out.
Because we gotta see if listeners are going to start a bidding war in the
all
chat rooms.
All of these nice. Items are also the cash. Also, I will trade for gear.
Are
depends
you
on the gear.
Have you signed this equipment?
Or drugs?
No.
It's not been Zachary.
No, I wouldn't deface it.
What?
I don't know. It depends on how you look. What if you have some I Happy M fans
I'll
are just
sign it.
Wanting your signature on something?
I'll sign it if they request.
I think you should throw that in there.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
for an extra $5, you'll throw
no,
your
no,
signature
no, 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 for
it.
Free. Hey,
okay,
I'll take $5 off if you buy it, I'll sign it too.
Wait.
I'll take $5 off if you buy it and ask for my signature.
That's usually okay, not go. How that works.
But
well,
I like
know,
it though.
Yeah.
I'm a dealer.
I like it.
I like making deals. Hey, yeah. let's make a deal.
Huh.
That's always a weird category. Doug, do you own any bases that are autographed or signed by someone else besides yourself? Of
no,
course.
I had a Didi Ramone signature base, but I sold it a couple months ago, and that had a stamped Didi Ramone autograph on the back of the headstock. Huh. But it's like one of many bases where I bought it and I wanted it to be, my favorite little thing, and it just wasn't, and it wasn't getting played. I have so many of them. I think I have, this is dumb, but I think I have 19 bases.
Josh Ooh, has boy. Some.
I'm halfway there, sir.
Yeah.
Josh has.
Yeah, I'm at 8.
I think he has 3 symbols when we opened up for Pump Jack. Way back in the day.
Had them sign it?
No, Diamond Jeez. Vinny.
Oh, Diamond Vinny.
Yeah,
oh.
And then I think there was some. He got some sticks and stuff, but it was already busted. I don't think he could sell it now. Well, he probably could sell it now, but I doubt he ever will.
Hmm.
That was when Daddy Rocks was right off of 30, and we were one of the first metal bands to play there.
It's always weird that when someone has an autographed like guitar. And they're playing with it on stage, or
yeah,
they're playing around.
That's
yeah.
weird. I would be worried that it's gonna get wiped off or something. Like,
yep.
My sweat, because I sweat a lot.
My buddy Dan, that married
a lot,
that married Seth's sister, he had an autographed Gibson Explorer, black on black on black on black. That was Al Jurgensen's.
Oh yeah! Wow.
He bought it. He bought it straight from Al.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Al needed some
and
money.
And
he was short on cash while he was in town.
It was during this
yeah, okay,
heroin
okay,
time for
yeah,
him.
Yeah.
But I'd go over the house and he'd just be sitting there going,
wow.
Dicking around
See,
out on the couch. And I'm like,
Johnson,
that
Johnson
guitar's
got
been around
his
the
stuff.
World. The Thieves was written on that guitar.
Yeah,
right.
If I remember right, Johnson would pluck around on stuff that he got signed. And I was like, man, that's if I got something signed. I wouldn't touch it.
I think if I could lacquer over it or something,
yeah, maybe.
I could see maybe.
Then
it,
then Johnson looked at me and goes, "It's my signature."
Oh, it was his own.
Yeah.
Maybe I should start doing that to my bases.
Just sign your own.
Sign
shit.
My own.
Yeah.
Before
yeah.
I sell them.
I actually have
own.
At the time that I bought my Steve Harris signature Fender Precision bass, I've got a buddy who happened to be out at the Fender plant, and he has a very high-paying, high-placed job with a big gear company, and he was joking that he was going to get me a Doug McGrath signature bass made by Fender. And he hasn't made
awesome.
Good on it yet.
Hey,
but,
man.
Oh, my God, yeah.
That would be badass. Did you send
Hold
him
to
did you send him specs and designs?
Not yet. Okay. Not yet. But
do you send
I think
him friendly reminders every so often? Where's that base?
We talk pretty often, yeah. He always hits me up for opinions about things. And
This is
a guy who's like he's an executive at a big company. And yeah.
Well, okay, if you don't mind me asking.
I won't say who it is.
No, that's fine. But what kind of questions does he ask you?
He will ask me, he's like, hey, you know, have you tried, you know, XYZ amp manufacturer stuff? Or have you seen, you know, this head or this bass or have you been to the new Mesquite, you know, Guitar Center store or whatever, right. You know, and I'll be like, oh, well, no, not really. Yeah.
Guitar Center, the Walmart.
That's the way he slides
musicians.
It to you was just go. You need to go over there and.
Yeah, he'll just come up with things that he wants to get answers to.
Zach, you could be kickstarting your Guitar Center
shopper.
Career.
There you go.
Oh,
actually.
Boy.
You know, we could be kickstarting his career.
Could.
Right.
You know, technically, I guess my Jericho is a custom Dustin Schneider edition Jericho bass.
You need to send it back to him so they can.
I had it built the way I wanted it.
Yeah.
You know, we
have.
So
the rest of the guys in your band, too.
We all have
signature guitars.
I was approached last Sunday after our gig at Shipping and Receiving for the Music Awards Festival. There was a woman who was just blasted drunk.
Yes, she was.
And on something else.
She had to have been.
She was on multiple. She was going two directions at the same time.
That chick was rubbing all over me and it was freaking me out.
Right?
Freaking me out.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
And so after the set, she was coming up to me yelling about my bass.
Yeah.
And about, oh.
She yelled at
all
of us.
You got a flying V bass. Oh, my God. You know, and. What is that? And what is that? A, you know, and I was trying at that
thing,
point. That's when I decided to pack up my stuff and go.
I'm gone.
The funniest thing she said that night was, "These guys are a Fort Worth band, and they're not a cover band."
Yeah,
that's her frame of reference. Yeah.
Midway through the set, as I'm sitting there taking pictures, she's rubbing all over me. She turns and she goes, "This is amazing because I'm used to." Cover bands in Fort Worth, and these guys are all playing originals. Don't you respect that? I'm like, yeah, I know these guys. I mean,
yeah, your
I know
breath
what's
smells
out
like
here.
Cigarettes
kinda
and
what
Jaeger.
It's for.
Yeah, now can
that's
I get
why
back
they're
to,
here?
Can I get back to taking pictures or whatever? I'm like, leave me alone.
Oh my God, yeah.
We were at that show. That was a really good show. We had
that
a blast.
That was probably one of the best shows we've played. I don't know why.
Just
it was,
the vibe.
I think
was
it
really
was
cool.
The room. I think it's just because they shoved everybody into that garage.
And shut the door.
You know, yeah.
It was loud.
You had weather outside dancing around.
Yeah, it was super
around.
Loud. And yeah, and just,
it was
on
cool.
Just on the concrete.
Yeah.
It was just throw down and just go.
Yeah, we really enjoyed that show.
And it's always
that was
cool
fun.
When you're the same level as the crowd.
Yeah.
And Peter took advantage of that, running into the crowd and then climbing up on the tables and stuff. And
yeah,
it was
now,
cool.
He tried to continue that so this past Sunday at the Last Curtain Club show.
I want to talk about this.
Yeah. So basically, the long story short, Pete went out into the crowd and ended up hurting his back somehow. He doesn't.
Uh-oh.
I don't know
Uh-oh.
What he did, but he said that he injured himself. And he spent the rest of this. This was like after about. Two songs, and he spent the rest of the set like just hobbling through it.
Well, you know, the night before he was at Lola's,
yeah.
And did he see Casey doing back bends and thought, I can
maybe,
do that too?
Maybe, yeah, yeah, yeah. I was interested in the pictures of Casey doing his antics, you know, like almost he, like
he did too.
Did he?
And
okay.
He got back, and I was like, oh my god. You're older than 20 years ago. Please don't.
Like, I don't
snap
really
in half.
Remember. I remember when like that wasn't really a thing, but then it sort of became a thing with him. I don't know. It's kind of cool, but it's kind of like rehearsed or it's not.
I remember seeing him up in Denton at Rick's.
Yeah,
I'm like, this guy's freaking playing Limbo.
Yeah it was. It's freaking
cool.
Crazy.
Yeah.
So y'all show on Sunday night. We're gonna jump all over the weekend here. So
sure.
Let's hit that up. Y'all played the very last night of Curtain Club.
Yeah.
And
that came out. That came about because they wanted Slow Roosevelt. And Slow Roosevelt could not get on the same page and do it. And so we just happened to have somebody in the right place at the right time who kind of intercepted that whole conversation and was like, oh, well, why don't you just have Pete's other band, Dagger Club, do it? And it was like, oh, yeah. And actually, we had talked with Doug Simmons, owner of Curtain Club, a couple of years ago, before this lineup was together and about doing a curtain club show, and it just never happened. And so I think we were kind of on Doug's brain, and so it, you know, that kind of made it happen. But
and did y'all were y'all limited to the 20-minute sets, or were they a little lax?
I think we were told later? We were told about 35 minutes.
Okay,
so the Sunday night show didn't have nearly as many bands, and we were given, you know, 30, 35 minutes. I think it got trimmed by about 5 minutes because of some stuff that happened. They ended up getting Drowning Pool to do two sets, and so they kind of cut everybody. Hey, it's our drummer, Daniel.
It's the second fifth.
Daniel McKay.
We are now two-fifths of Dire Club.
Two-fifths.
Yep, here we are. We're spanning counties now. In.
Slap you some headphones on there, your microphone, I'll crank it up.
Should be hot.
You can jump in. We're talking about Sunday night.
Yeah, we're talking about Curtain Club.
At the Curtain Club.
Sorry, yep.
Now, for those that didn't go, I went on Saturday night briefly.
Yep.
About 7:30 to see New Magnetic North. And they, every night it was like 12, 14 bands, some crap like that. So everybody, well, on Saturday night, the sets were 20 minutes long, so the bands were playing like three or four songs each, and
yeah,
a lot of people weren't very happy about that.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And it was chaos. Well, first off, I posted about this on social media. The two things I hate about Curtain Club was the loading in and out gear and the parking situation on the street there.
Yeah, it's a beating.
And then gear storage is chaos. And then you throw in 12 bands.
Yeah, and see, back in the day, they just used to do three bands, you know, and it was built for that, and that's what the space was designed for, and it works, you know, works perfectly that way.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Well, this was, I mean, there was gear all over the green room, all over the gear storage area. It came out down by that front area by the stairwell. Yeah. There was stuff even in front of the mixer console and everything, the big booth.
Yeah.
And I've seen it like that several times, though. It's always like that.
For this one, I think for the Saturday, they just had so many bands that wanted on and so many that they wanted to put on that they just made it, you know, 12 or however many bands they ended up with. And then Sunday was a little bit more controlled. But they actually did. They initially wanted to book, like, honest to God, like, you know, like six legit headliners, like Mothership and all these other bands that they wanted on there, and it just didn't. They couldn't figure out how to make it work out.
Yeah,
I had an idea when I left there and I was driving back to Fort Worth. I was like, man, the thing to do would have been, we're going 24 hours. This is it.
Well, yeah, right.
Or we're going 48 hours.
They could have done that. They could have made it a festival.
And we're gonna have badass bands play 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning, and the timing thing was going through my head, and Royal Sons had played on Friday night.
Yeah.
So when I got to Lola's, I asked Chad, I was like, how long was y'all set? And he told me, you know, we got four songs out or something like that. It was kind of ridiculous, you know. We were kind of let down because we thought we were going to play a real set there. But it was our last time up there. But like everybody said, they didn't have enough time to enjoy it.
No.
Because they weren't... By the time you're eased into the set, it's time to say goodbye.
Right.
So you weren't even enjoying your last time playing the Curtain Club on that stage.
We had it a little bit better on Sunday. You know, we basically played like a normal set for us.
And the equipment was easy because everybody backlined. And so we shared drums. We shared
cabs. I guess I did that the whole weekend. Did you sign the head?
I didn't.
You didn't?
I didn't.
Yeah, and I didn't even hear about that.
I saw it going around.
Okay.
But... No, I didn't jump
in. I thought it was just for the drummers. I didn't know if the whole bands were signing in or what.
I guess that makes sense.
Playing on that kit.
I should have thought about that. Yeah. Well.
But that was a nice kit to be backlined with.
It was. I hate playing on other people's kit.
Yeah.
I'm sure every drummer says the same thing.
Yeah.
You know? It's like getting in somebody else's car and their seats moved around and the mirrors are moved and you're not allowed to move it.
Before the gig, I sent Daniel a picture of the kit that he was going to be playing on because it looked like identical to Daniel's own kit.
It was my kit. It was the same shells and everything that I play. Mike got the same kit I got.
Yeah.
And
that was convenient.
Yeah.
That's really convenient.
It was great.
It was set up a little weird.
Yeah, it was set up. All my cymbals were on my right side. I didn't have any cymbals in the middle or on my left side just because the way he sets up. But it worked out really well. It was funny. The sound guy was up there when we were setting up. and he's got these two rack toms, and so his hi-hat stand was way over to the left-hand side, and I'm sitting there, I was like, man, this is not going to work. So I looked at the sound guy, I was like, hey, what if we take this rack tom off so I can move the hi-hat over? And he's looking around, I was like, man, I don't know, Mike's got it set up, and
yeah,
he's got all this stuff, and I looked around, I was like, you know what? Mike's not fucking here, is he? Yeah. He started laughing, so I grabbed
Mike
his
went to
tom.
Get something to eat. I'm yeah. checking this out.
And Mike's a really good guy.
Mike's awesome.
He would have supported whatever anybody wanted to do. Yeah. They were just having a good time.
Well, Mike don't know. Don't know. Hurt him.
Right?
Yeah. It was great. In. It was great, and you're right on the equipment. Curtain Club's always been... That's always sucked. Load in, load out, storage it's and all terrible. That stuff. But, you know... It's like that everywhere you go for the smaller venues that yeah. you play. There's that's, really not. I mean, Doug was talking about yeah. even out at Texas Live, you know, this huge brand new venue that they just built.
Yeah, that's weird. So I'm in a cover band that plays at Texas Live now and then, and called Epic Unplugged. And so they've got this deal where you have to drag your stuff through the entire venue. There's no like back loading door. That goes direct to the stage.
Brand new venue.
This is a
just
brand
built.
New built thing out yeah. at the new
you
ballpark.
Is that
the and who designed the music that. Venue?
Is I'm that the stage going, in front of the those that
right
monitors
above the
and shit,
right?
The
yeah,
and all
right.
That?
Yeah, you got monitors damn. Framing the stage, and
so
it's
you have to
right
fight
over
all
the bar.
That to get,
but it's a badass place to play. It's yeah. great.
It looks cool.
That's my one complaint: is you got to drag your stuff all the way through the place.
When you play your cover set there, do they keep all the sports shit on?
They tone it down, I think, or they time it to where there's not a lot going on. But I think there's stuff on the screens while we're playing,
yeah.
which is just a little weird.
I was in there the other night, and they shoot they shoot smoke,
dry ice
and shit when they hit a home run.
Yeah,
when the Rangers hit a home run, you're like, what the fuck is this?
Same thing, touchdowns and stuff during the football game. They do all sorts of crazy.
That place
stuff.
Is cool.
It is cool,
and it's well run. The people that run it are really cool. I will say that.
So back over the Curtain Club.
Yep.
Are any of y'all on the paintings?
Peter.
Yeah.
Peter.
Actually,
is.
I am too.
Are you up there too?
Yeah. In fact, mine, South FM is still up there.
Okay. I was wondering if you were on the
South
FM.
Yeah. So Pete
one.
And I were both still up there Sunday night, and I don't actually know what's going to happen to the South FM plaque. I
know they were offering them.
They were, and I feel
you
like
had to buy them.
I think I asked at the time, and I was. I don't know if somebody in the band is claiming it or not. I need to check back on that.
I heard it. They were selling them for $5.
I don't remember if it was five. I think it was maybe like
$150 or
something.
I thought Pete had said it was
maybe
like
if it's one. Maybe it depends. Maybe it's five if you're Slow Roosevelt, and maybe
one
it's
in here?
Lower if you're somebody lower.
Yeah, if it was $150, I should have grabbed the HK one and just hung it up in here. And
Chad is not going to let anything happen to HK.
Maybe that was the Slow Roosevelt price was $150.
That HK, if the guys don't buy it back, that's going to go home with Chad.
Probably, yeah.
Because he loves those guys.
Remember they had that, I don't even know if it's still around, the Texas Rock and Roll or Hard Rock Museum that they had out in, was it Grand Prairie?
Yeah. I remember
I figured
when
they
would
have jumped on those if they were still around,
but
it's not around
anymore,
is it?
I don't, that was, I think that was a lame idea that.
Yeah, they tried to get it going, and then they went out to the state fair or something.
Yeah,
Well, they also took
Are they the ones that assembled, like, a bunch of... They got stuff from Slow Roosevelt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's the same people, isn't
it? It is? Yeah. Okay, you're right.
I think. I'm not sure.
Yeah, Pete... Yeah, they donated some stuff.
And
what happened to that?
Remember Slow Row, also, they pulled that plaque down to put it out at the state fair for that little thing they did in the Texas Hall.
I thought that was
the same thing, wasn't it?
Is it the same people that did that?
Or that's the wait? It's the Texas Music. What the hell is it? They just emailed me actually about
that. So it is still around?
It's in Irving.
I think it's separate. I think it's something separate that was at the fair.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I think it's two things.
But that thing is it the museum that's actually is it, you say it's in Irving?
It's in Irving. Yeah.
Mm. Is that still around?
Oh,
all right. They're obviously doing a great job of marketing.
Yeah. Didn't the Archer or someone play there?
Robotuner went out there. He's in the.
Hey,
in the chat room. Let me pull this up.
Robes. Hey, Robes. Let us know, man.
Huh.
So, have they said what they're going to do with that? With the actual venue?
Yeah. So they sold to an investment group. I think that's putting in a like a. Somebody said it's like a commercial property management office or something. So it's not even going to be retail.
It's the investment group that bought it. They own like 32 of the buildings down there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess the guy that owns and runs the Curtain Club, he's in with a group.
Yeah, that's a group of owners.
And so the investment firm that came in offered them, you know, whatever for the spot, and they voted on it. Of course, he voted no.
Yeah, because the ownership group
that voted no
owned like the block.
Yeah,
yeah.
And so like that, you know, they weren't like renting that place. They owned the
well, at
whole,
one time they
the
owned
space and
all three corners.
Yeah,
yeah.
And the old
and Clearview.
Clearview.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the new investment.
And they sold off pieces of
Clearview. But you're a bunch of stiffs.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure.
And I know several of the owners.
Yeah.
Some of whom manage bands of mine and stuff like that.
They probably just drink craft beer and shit like that.
From what I hear, they're trying to find a new location. From a few people I was talking to for the Curtain Club, he didn't want to shut it down.
Yeah.
And he was kind of forced to. And so I think he's trying to find a new location, which would be cool, but still, I mean, that was part of Curtain Club, was that spot.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so I actually worked there. I was the Curtain Club's first head of security and floor manager back in like 1999, 2001.
So you probably know Henry Jacob.
I do very well.
Yeah, he's one of our
buddies. He was there Sunday, yeah.
Oh, he was there?
Yeah.
That's
yeah, he and his wife came up
town,
from Mexico.
Didn't let me
yeah,
know.
They came up for the whole the whole weekend.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
I can't hey Henry.
And he was on stage, yeah, Jacob I Henry.
Your, I came to your bar when I came down to Mexico, so
mm-hmm. Yeah, so Jacob, I was the first like floor manager, and then there was Jacob, and then Mike Wookie and Paul Aguilar. Like they were kind of like the four.
He did
guys.
Some more stuff with Pat Green, I think, recently.
Yeah,
I think
I
saw that. He went back on the road with him for a little bit.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, so him and Braxton.
I love his bar
Braxton
down there,
Henry.
By the way.
I still haven't been down there.
Oh, yet. It's awesome.
Yeah.
They got a Lone Star can and stuff and.
Oh,
like
is
a bunch
right?
of stuff wow. that's directly related to Texas.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And all the people that are there are from Texas. Just a bunch of dumb tourists.
Right.
So
yeah, they were there. The whole, basically, you know, most of the old alumni from Curtain Club were there this weekend.
Who climbed up on the roof? I see pictures of someone on the
roof,
but I couldn't see who it was.
I saw somebody up there, and I can't remember what they were doing.
Did they jump?
No, they were doing something. I think they were setting up... a cable or something. There was filming going on.
Oh,
I think
okay.
it was related to the filming.
They may have just been doing an aerial shot.
This
you know,
I'm going out.
It was some kind of, it was official activity. Yeah,
they make drones now. You don't have to climb up on shit anymore.
They were placing a cable or something. From what I saw. Yeah. It was fun though. We played. I was saying, you know, we played such a spectacular set at Shipping and Receiving. That we didn't quite get that to that level at Curtain Club, but it doesn't really matter because it sounded so fucking good.
Yep.
That's what I love.
All the audio and video that we've heard, it's just like, good God, it sounded good.
Yep.
We did.
Well, that's half the allure for bands playing at Curtain Club.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
All,
that on stage
all the way back
sound,
when James used to do sound and everybody, you know.
James did us the last time we played there a month and a half ago. A month ago.
Right.
When the Spectacle played, and it sounded perfect.
Mm-hmm.
On
well,
stage,
what they did Sunday,
perfect.
So they intentionally revved it all the way. I mean, they blew that thing out, and it sounded so loud and so clean.
Yep.
Like, it was the cleanest loud sound I've ever heard in my life in a small venue.
Yeah.
So they definitely ran it through its paces, you know.
Well, all the video I've seen of you guys online has... sounded good.
Yeah.
Looks good.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. It's cool. And I should have thought to ask Chad if they were going to record that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He probably did.
I'm sure
surely,
they did.
Yeah, surely someone's going
to
record it.
I heard they were recording everything.
Yeah,
for everybody.
I'll have to ask them. Yep. Yeah.
And they had a... someone was... Well, besides the... I guess the documentary they're shooting or whatever.
Right.
All the cameras running around. They had a still camera set up right... Like kind of right in front of where Chad is, where that post is.
Yeah.
They had a still... HD camera getting a shot of the stage all the way across. So
yeah.
I don't know if that's part of the documentary or if they were also shooting video for everyone.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah, that was a fun venue to play. And it's always cool when you play there. You're like, damn, all the bands that have played on the stage.
Yeah, it was cool.
It's crazy.
Seeing your name on the wall.
Yeah.
That was, I remember when we first started playing in Travail back in the 90s, you know, driving down that street, seeing your name up. On the curtain club wall.
Someone went through the process of painting my name on the wall.
I was joking with somebody the other day. I was like, I got one of the shirts, and I was like, well, you know, I designed the logo on the front, right? And they're like, oh, wow. And my band is on the back of the shirt, right? You know, and it was just really kind of bizarre.
The first time I played there, we had to, you had to, back way back in the day, they had you play at Rick's and Denton. If you were an outside band, like if you weren't from Dallas,
to go through the whole,
you had to go through the and you had to turn out a Wednesday at Rick's and Denton, and they did the same thing. It was cool because they put your name on the side of Rick's too.
Well, they've got an owner in common, or they did
at that time. They did, So, and we were stoked that we got to play Rick's because we always wanted. I went to school there at UNT, and we'd always go up there to watch shows when we were in high school and stuff. We were freaked out that we got to play there, and then like a week later they called us and said, we're gonna have you in at Curtain Club, and then we're like, bang,
right?
And it was just like you said, the sound was so good.
Maybe we're a real band now. Maybe we're not a real band. I don't know.
The sound was so good, it was almost intimidating from going to just playing shitty club PAs all the time, and then playing there, you're like, whoa, it's almost jarring.
It is weird being on the stage, hearing yourself crystal clear with no hearing protection. And it's so weird, and yet you know in front of you, and if you get to the edge of the stage and you lean out, you could hear how loud it was
pushing out
to the room, pushing out, but you were like in this nice little bubble.
When you're back in that cave, you don't hear it.
It sounded so perfect.
And it's like, especially for the drums, you never ever get drums in your monitor. The kick and snare and stuff like that. But there at the Curtain Club, you know, you're sound checking, doing your thing, and they ask you, you want some kick? And you're like, yeah, let me get a little
That
kick.
Was the other thing that was awesome is you had your, it was kind of like, you had your monitor guy right next to you. So if you had any problems,
you'd be like, hey, and I forgot about that. And on Sunday, I heard the guy talking to me, and I'm looking down at my drums, and saying, he's like, you want some kick? And, you know, because the curtain's closed. And I'm like, yeah, let me get some kick, you know, looking around, and all of a sudden kick starts coming.
He's right over here.
Yeah, and then I looked over, he's like, oh, there he is right there.
The one thing I did
this guy's a wizard.
Always like about Curtain Club, and this is also very intimidating back late 90s, you know, early 2000s, was, like you said, there was a, the way you had to play there was you had to either start at Liquid Lounge and go in, or Rick's. And get invited in. But then to get a plaque was way different back then. You had to
They didn't just give them to any
No, you had to sell out shows.
You had to get a to get a headlining show, and
to turn it out too.
I think South FM got it when we had, I don't know that it was our first headlining show, but it was a big one. And
I guess, you know, over the past, I don't know, since we've been doing the show, in order to get a plaque, you just had to sell like 75 tickets three times in a row or for three shows in a row.
Is that
or
right?
Something like that.
God, that's weird.
I tell you.
And you got it,
That seems weird to me. It's a calculation now.
When I was seeing all the stuff on Facebook about how it was the last show, I started thinking about all the crazy shit that I've seen at Curtain Club. And I think the funniest one, you've heard me tell this story, is we were out there. I can't remember. I think it was Fritz and Johnson and I and someone else, like Patchy or someone, and we were at a show. Remember Angel Dick? We were at an Angel Dick show with, I think, like Ugly Mustard and someone else. I can't remember who it was. But the I remember Angel Dick playing because they were dressed as nuns, and fucking Dime was there. And he was fucked up. And he was like, he showed up fucked. It wasn't one of those where he shows up and he's and then gets fucked up. He showed up fucked up. And it was back when they were doing those test tube shots of Jaeger. The girls would walk around with test tube shots. And he goes, he stopped this one. Dime stopped this one right in front of all of us and takes the whole tray and just goes, jumps it all over his face.
I was telling a Dime story the other night from when I was working there. You know, like he would do this deal where he and his posse would show up, you know, like at the very end of the night. Like they've been, you know, six other places or whatever. And so one night he's up there at the upstairs bar.
That's where we were at.
And I was like helping kind of shut things down, you know, since I was managing. You know, I'm up there making sure the bar is getting shut down, and he shows up, and I was like, oh, fuck. You know, and so he dares me. We had literally like about 2 minutes left before we had to close. He's like, all right, man, you know, I need you to go downstairs. We need to get 25, you know, fucking black tits or whatever. So I had to go grab a new bottle of Crown, new bottle of Jaeger or whatever, and set up all these drinks. And we did it, you know, and he threw down like a ton of money.
Yeah. Yeah. He was great at that.
He would dare people to do stuff. You know,
yeah, that was we saw one of our Travel shows where we were at. He was there. That was one of our moments where it was just like, holy shit.
Yeah.
You know, Dimebag was there. The Drowning Pool bus was out front while we were playing. Right? And we played and got
no pressure.
Yeah, no, at all. Right. We played, we got off stage, and I remember he grabbed Dwayne and they were at the bar. And he grabbed Dwayne, and he grabbed him. He's like, man, you're a fucking animal. Holy shit. And just shots and all this stuff started flying.
Oh, my God.
That was our big, like, the biggest we ever thought we were was Dimebag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were
loving you.
You know.
God. Yep. That's funny.
Shoot. Well, Curtain Club, you will be missed.
Yes, yep. For sure.
Absolutely.
Yep. Hopefully you're right, man. Put it somewhere else and bring the PA. I hadn't heard that story.
Yeah, he's looking and possibly trying to get some other investors to go in with him to find a spot and get it back open.
Maybe an uptown spot on McKinney.
Ooh, nice.
Weird. Yeah, rub out. Yeah.
Yeah.
See, that's what's great. That's what blew me away. I haven't been out there to Deep Ellum in a long time. Mm-hmm. My job, we do work. We do low voltage. So we do like bars. We do like TVs, audio systems, stuff like that, like big badass systems. So I've done, like during the day, we've done installed a lot of bars and stuff down there. But I haven't been down there like on a weekend and all this stuff to see. It blew my fucking mind.
It's ridiculous
mind.
Now.
Yeah. I mean, it's a Sunday and it was an early show.
It was a Saturday. There were so many people down there.
Our load-in's at 5 o'clock. And so I'm driving through Deep Ellum at 4:30 on a Sunday afternoon. And it's fucking
the streets are full.
Packed.
Yeah.
Well, it's the trendy. There's trendy restaurants down there now.
Right.
And that's what it is. It's the new uptown, right?
Yeah, it's all the boutique restaurants and trendy restaurants and stuff. There's not. The shopping's not there like it used to be.
Yep, right.
But yeah, it's mainly just eating and bars.
Mm-hmm.
As far as live music goes,
not a lot anymore.
It's starting to get
Deep Ellum's. Deep Ellum's always been phasey like that though. Yeah. Too. The artists will move in, then they'll move out, and then it'll start dying down and get nasty again, and then they'll move back in, and it just revamps itself.
Didn't it go through like a reggae phase once or something?
Yeah, there was. Yeah, back when I used to live down there, like 95 to 2001, and that was there were at least two reggae clubs down there.
Yeah,
what was the one next door to Trees?
So one of them, the one that it was that I'm thinking is over by Curtain Club was called Dread and Irie, which I think was on Commerce.
I went to an after party at one of those places.
I was thinking there's one either by Trees or by Green Room.
I think you're right.
July Alley? No.
There was something, maybe it was down Malcolm X or down Crowdis. I think it was. There might have been one over there too.
But I remember, a reggae phase. And then, of course,
they had the Royal Rack, which was up there off of Greenville, which was sort of.
About that.
They had a little bit of.
I remember for a while they remember when they were saying that all the security, like all the parking and the parking lot attendants and stuff, were like ex-Somalian, like special force guys and stuff. And they're like,
I never heard this story.
Keith from COC told me that. He's like, don't fuck with these parking attendants when you come out and play and stuff, man. He's like, just be cool with those guys because they will fuck you up.
All the parking attendants along Sunset Strip in L.A. are former KGB.
They'll
fuck you up, too.
They're badasses.
Huh. That's insane.
That's
crazy. I've seen so much crazy shit in Deep Ellum.
Ukrainian KGB?
Mm-hmm. No shit.
There was a time where I think we went down there for the Eagles, one of their local shows or something.
Oh, yeah.
And it was at Trees, and me and Johnson, it was hot. It was right in the middle of the summer. You know how things are already wilder during the summer anyway?
Yeah.
It was like, there was tension in the air. It was when they were, cruising was at its probably peak.
Yeah.
There was just cars upon cars upon cars cruising through, systems blaring, and this fight broke. We just left and we were going to get pizza, and we were walking, and all of a sudden these two cars get into it. This one guy gets out, starts yelling at this dude, and they're about to fight and everything. This dude pops his trunk, gets a bat, Then like seven officers come out of nowhere with their guns drawn right in front of me and Johnson. We're fucked up too. Like, and I'm pretty sure we weren't 21 yet. And we're just like, whoa.
There was a fight like this. Like, there was a fight in front of Curtain Club Sunday night.
Oh yeah.
Early in the night. There was a car pulled up. A kid got out of the back seat and it goes over to a dude who's riding one of those rent bikes and just starts beating his ass.
Well, I'm at side with you, Mom.
Shoves him off the bike and starts beating him down. And some guys go over, like from the club and everything, like go over there and separate him.
Yeah.
And then the mom, who's driving the car, gets out of the car and pulls a metal cane out of the car and starts beating him.
Yeah.
And we're just like, oh my God, what the hell is going on?
So does the guy on the scooter, does the timer stop or is he getting charged for that?
Yeah, is he getting charged the whole time?
Yeah, right? God, yeah, I don't know what he did, but mama beat his ass.
Yeah, well, Keith, the dude that was in cop, it wasn't Chaz, it was someone that was working at the radio station for a while. They got their asses beat to a pulp, like ended up in the hospital.
Is that right?
The first time I met Keith, his whole face was
swollen.
How
just long ago was that? I think I heard about that.
Man, 98?
Okay.
99?
Yeah.
Man, they were laid up in the hospital for a good week or two.
News stories about that and stuff.
Yeah, it was funny. Johnson was like, man, because Johnson had been working with him for a while. And he was, man, Keith's fucked up from that, man. Like, he doesn't even talk the same hardly.
Jeez.
Yeah. And then that was when their drummer, Cox drummer, right after that, joined the Goo Goo Dolls.
Mm. Yep.
Oh, I forgot about that.
There's so much music tied into Deep Ellum, too, and in the Curtain Club. The Curtain Club alone, there's been so many fucking people that have just gone in there, stopped in, and then met this guy, and then...
Oh, yeah. So one night, we had Duff McKagan's band in there in 98, and I talked with Duff for like an hour. And that band, that was his band called Loaded, that has Dez from Black Flag in it and stuff like that. So I'm sitting there talking with Dez Cadena and Duff McKagan. It was crazy. Who else did we have? We had Dennis Rodman in there one night. We had Beyonce in there because we had...
Beyonce went in the Curtain Club?
Well, what was the band before she
Destiny's
was...
Destiny's Child?
Yeah, we had Destiny's Child up in there one time. Yeah.
Yeah, they, you know, and we were talking about Dom and Vinny. They were really they had a lot to do with that. Dom and Vinny, the guys that they would drag in there.
Yeah, they would bring
all kinds of people in there.
Yeah.
When we were played there, the Social Distortion was playing, I think, what was it? What's the Canton Club used to be? What was it called? Way back in the day.
The Bronco Bowl?
It wasn't Canton Club. I forgot. I'll remember it in a little bit.
Yeah.
Deep Ellum Live.
Oh.
Yeah.
Maybe it was Deep Ellum Live.
Yeah, where Canton Hall is now.
Oh, Canton Hall. Yeah, Canton Hall. That's Deep Ellum Live.
They were playing, and their road crew heard us playing, and they came in, checked out one song, act like they liked it, and then fucking took off. Like, fuck this.
Yeah.
But you never knew who you were going to see.
We had Mike Ness at Curtain Club.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When he, the...
Solo.
Yeah, his I thought he did his country thing.
God,
too,
he looked so unhealthy when he did that show. I want to say it was like 99.
Yeah,
or
he probably was.
Yeah, he was messed up.
Yeah.
So the first two shows listed at, and this is a good segue, at Curtain Club on Setlist FM, December 31st, 1997, Hagfish.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
And then
first week for sure.
January 2nd, Dusu.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which takes us to.
Nice.
The show. Oh, God, look, it was Dusu on the 2nd with Buck Jones.
Yeah.
Wakeland
Buck
on the 3rd.
Buck Jones, man, I forgot about them.
Then at the end of the night, at the end of the month was...
Daisy?
Double Night of Course of Empire.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
And then the Nixons. And then, golly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like that. It was like that.
Pop Poppins, Radish, the Nixons, Tabula Rasa.
Yeah.
Quickserve Johnny.
Yeah, those were buddies of mine, too. I think I started there in 98.
That bass player was my English teacher in ninth grade, Deep Blue Something.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Is that Todd or Toby?
Todd.
Now, see, about half the bands you just named were managed by my buddy from college who managed us, Slow Roosevelt, Deep Blue Something, Quickserve Johnny, Tabula Rasa, all of that stuff. Oh,
and
yeah.
In fact, cruising through here, the first national band, if you don't count, Reverend Horton Heat.
Space Hog.
Adams Farm was on here. Do you count Valve?
Nope.
No, don't count them. So Tripping Daisy was August 13th. Well, what this shows is Rollins' band.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Yeah. I was going to say Rollins and Space Hog are the earlier ones that I can remember.
Freaking Space Hog and that crazy.
And then we also had the dude from Gin Blossoms. I can't remember what his project was called. But they were doing these shows where Marlboro would like, you know, throw a bunch of money down. And so they'd bring in, you know, like a $10,000 show.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Matthew I remember those Sweet. Shows.
Yeah.
The Nixon yeah. did a three
Matthew
night
Sweet. Yeah, I remember
stand.
That.
Stand.
Yep.
Good grief.
Yeah.
So the Nixons put out a song a couple of months ago. Are they going to play some shows or do anything?
Yeah, they've been playing shows.
Oh, they have?
Yep.
Are they putting out a full release?
As far as I know. Yeah.
Where have they been playing the shows at? Because...
they've been doing little, just small little runs, you know, like they've been, I know they've been playing Tulsa, Oklahoma City. They've played a Dallas show. I don't remember when.
I'd like to see them.
But yeah, they're doing current shows. Yeah. In fact, there was one run where John Humphrey, their drummer, who also played with me in South FM, he was out of town with Seether because he plays for Seether now. And his son stepped in with the Nixons and played like five or six shows with the Nixons.
That's cool.
So that was kind of wild.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they were also managed by the same people that I was saying managed Tabula Rasa, Slurlsville, all that. Yeah. All the same. Yeah.
Yeah. This list is crazy. I forgot about El Nino, Godhead.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about them.
So anyway, moving on Saturday night, we had kind of a big reunion scene happen on the other side of town.
Big time.
Yes, huge.
At Lola's.
Yeah.
And so do you want to go ahead and confess what happened to you here? The reunion show you've been waiting to see for since we started this podcast.
Did you fall asleep and not go out? That's my move.
That's exactly what I did.
That is my move.
Well, I did something dumb. I went on a spirit walk on Friday.
Oh, shit.
Or Saturday morning at, what, 5? Around 5 o'clock 5 in the morning.
Yeah, that's okay.
We decided to go on a spirit walk. And so it's necessary evil.
It is.
Has to happen.
Huh. We had some fun. We drank a lot of stuff.
And then I had to get up and on Saturday and get my shit together and
what, you're screwing everything. Yeah, that was Friday night.
That was Friday night.
Okay, yeah. Okay, yeah.
Huh. So I tried to get some things done. I had some personal stuff to take care of. Well, I got that all squared away and then decided I was going to take a little nap around, I'd say, 7-ish.
Oh, that's dangerous time right there.
You texted me
and go, you got to
get that
leaving?
In. You got to start that nap.
It was
nap
right
at
after
like
I texted
four.
You that.
Okay, you texted me and that was like 6-ish.
Yeah, so...
because I was headed to Dallas. I said, I'm headed to
and
Dallas
the weather
now.
Was getting bad. I thought Thunder would keep me up and stuff. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But no.
Thunder truck would keep you up?
It was 1 o'clock, and I was like, well, guess I'm not going to that show.
Oh, my God, yeah.
I'm texting him all sorts of stuff. Where you at? Everybody knows that you were waiting for this.
Oh, yeah.
Like everybody.
So they figure he's dead.
And well, no, because we talked about how we would always want Dusu to play another show.
Like, anytime we've brought up
Dusu
reunion
never
shows
play another
in
show.
This
Dusu
room.
Dusu has to play one.
They will. I'm sure they'll do a Dallas show.
They did.
Another one. Yeah.
So, there's three or four bands that are always at the top of this list. And for the longest time, it's Slow Row. That's done.
Dusu.
I wouldn't say Slow Row's done.
Well, their reunion was done.
Like,
They've had it.
Not they, mean like they're fi- thought you meant like they're finished.
In the time we've done this show, that was one we really wanted, and pulled it off. They did the reunion.
They
show.
Did. Yeah. They did two or three, didn't they?
Yeah,
for a little stint.
They were doing it. I think they were almost trying to do it yearly for a while.
Yeah,
well, kind of like what.
But it just kinda, whenever it happens.
Yeah. Another one that was for me was Brutal Juice, and mine's that happened, and they even recorded a
but
record.
But the big one,
yeah.
The big Course one, of Empire.
The big, so which was
ooh,
bigger?
I have news on this for you, by the way.
Dusu or Course?
Wait.
Breaking news.
We might have breaking news.
I might
can you talk about it?
I might make you pee your pants.
Uh-oh.
We can talk about it.
For a minute. Make sure
I have such inside info on this, it's not even funny.
Oh, my
can
Lord.
We talk about it? You want to do it
yeah,
off the mic?
No, we can talk about it. That's fine. There's not a lot to say, but I will... Let's go back. We'll go back to August 2016. Chad Lovell from Curtain Club, drummer for Course of Empire, he turned 50 years old, and we had a birthday party for him at Three Links. Okay? Yeah. Yeah, so that was almost 3 years ago, so he's almost 53.
Jesus.
All right, so Chad had a birthday party. It was kind of a surprise. He knew somebody was throwing him a party, but he didn't really know what was going to go down. And the idea was we were going to throw together a set of Course of Empire songs. And I basically, I don't want to say I started it, but I stepped up to play bass for it. And I ended up getting Mike Graff to play guitar, you know, the Course of Empire's guitarist.
Mm-hmm.
And that was supposed to be kind of a surprise to Chad, is that I, you know, it was actually going to be Graff on guitar. So we got Chad up there playing on a couple of songs at the end of the set. We only did like a 6-song set. So we had two members of Course of Empire. And we had Cameron Taylor from Secret of Boris singing. And then we had Gene Coleman, who's a sound guy at Curtain Club, play the other drums, you know, other drummer, basically the percussion. And then also Brandon Keebler, who is the monitor guy at Curtain Club. He played drums as well. Anyway, the other night, I'm on the patio at Curtain Club. Mike Graff and Michael Jerome from Course of Empire are in town and bought tickets from Dagger Club to come see our show. But nice. They had a lot of stuff going on. They went and played at Spinster, I think, that day, which is the record store over in Oak Cliff.
Uh-huh.
And anyway, they did make it back to Curtain Club and were talking with me out on the patio. And Graff looks at me and he's like, "Hey, I think we want to do a Course of Empire
Jeez.
Show." And so he's been working for years trying to get Vaughn, the vocalist for Course of Empire, uh-huh. interested in doing it. And Vaughn just flat out refuses. He says he feels no one's interested in that.
Oh my good gosh.
And he's just kind of living off the grid, like in Austin or wherever the hell he is. And he just refuses to get into it.
So there's no shot of getting Vaughn still.
No chance of Vaughn. But the remaining drummers and Graff and myself, I think we'll probably end up doing it.
So here's play this for Vaughn, because after the other night, okay, after all of us hanging out at Lola's,
mm-hmm.
seeing Dusu,
yeah,
and it being magical and everybody freaking out, which, by the way, I was telling you earlier, I've never seen Lola's that packed in my life.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was insane. Doors were open. People were climbing on things, climbing on each other.
Right.
It was, as the night progressed, because the lineup was insane, more and more people just kept showing up. And when you have the trailer park out back where bands are playing, and you have the inside, you know, and some people are kind of going back and forth for different bands, and the Kush was playing, yeah. and Sub Oslo ended up headlining that night.
Yeah.
But, you know, when it came time for Ducey to play, the place was ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
But once their set was over, and a whole bunch of us were standing out back, musicians and yep. people that have grown up in the scene, and we're all of our jaws were on the ground, like, "Oh my God, this just happened."
Mm-hmm.
Every single person said, "All right, all we need is a Course of Empire reunion." And
yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. I was talking about it this weekend. Yeah. And I've actually teased it. I've gone back to Graff a couple of times about, "Listen, dude, we need to do a show." And
that place will be,
and do a proper set. And he wanted to do it for the anniversary of the release of Telepathic Last Words, which was last year, and he couldn't get it together. And most of the problem, I think, has been Chad. I don't think Chad's not been wanting to do it.
I have tried to talk to him.
And
a couple
Jerome's
times
been
about
too
it.
Busy. Jerome, yeah. he plays for Better Than Ezra and Richard Thompson and a couple other guys.
What's that band we just saw him with?
The one from, was it New Orleans?
They open for the Toadies.
Right, right. Yeah, so he does two or three other things.
Yeah.
But Jerome and Graff both stared at me in the face the other night and said they wanted to do it. And I said, I told Graff, I've been rehearsing a playlist of about 16 to 18 songs for a year or two. And I said, if you told me that there was a gig booked for next week, I could do it. I could pull off the set.
There
so
you go.
It's just a matter of getting the drummers on the same page and getting rehearsals scheduled and booking something and settling on a singer.
Now pull in Dusu and then pull in Slow roll.
I've already, yeah, see, and those and thoughts then, went through my head, too. I was like, well, would it be Baboon or would it be Daisy? You know what I mean?
Baboon would be cool.
Which you know Baboon is doing stuff once a year now.
I know. They're on that same kind of, yeah. But, yeah. Anyway, and I did plant a seed in somebody's head, a talent buyer's head about this. And yeah. I don't know. I think we'll make it happen. Graf is
you're going to see two men, two late 40-year-old men crying.
Yeah, I'll do meth for that.
Oh, my God.
I'll stay up.
Meth for $1.50. Don't get excited.
Right.
I'll stay up for that one. Yeah, a lot of coffee.
Yeah, I really do want to make it happen. I want to
with meth
make them stick to their word.
Yeah, that's a joke, y'all.
I'm going to hold you to that.
It's all jokes here.
It is fun. It's fun to play those songs, and I don't know why Paul Simrad doesn't show up and do the bass for that stuff. But I don't know. He's not into it either, I guess.
Do you think Vaughn, when he sees that though, like, will be okay? I see the amounts of people that are there. Maybe I will come in and do a set.
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't know that he cares. He really just doesn't care, I think.
Well, who was Halls of the Machine?
That's Jerome and Graf.
Okay.
And like an extra musician or two.
Yeah. It was three or four piece, but I couldn't remember who made it all up.
Yeah.
Because Vaughn didn't
do
anything.
It was the two of them originally.
Right?
No, Vaughn's never done anything after the last Course of Empire show, musically. Not once.
Yeah, he just walked away.
Just poof.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was at that
It's
show,
almost
by the way.
More of a cool Speaking story of Cock, if Cock he doesn't ever come back. He just ghosts, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. He's gone. He's like the. Or he shows up and you don't recognize him like
wouldn't that be funny? Like he gains like, right, he's like 300 pounds or whatever.
And you're like,
and he's sitting at the end of the bar.
And he's just sitting there listening, just nodding his head. Then he leaves.
Have you read the Nick Mason book where they talk about him showing up at Abbey Road?
Yeah.
And just like,
and not them not know who it was. Yeah. And
yeah, that's cool.
Damn.
Yeah, he's definitely, he could be our Sid.
Well, now I don't know what to do with this erection I have.
You know what you could do?
I'll work on it. I'll try to get you more information.
If it happens.
Z Music.
I'll tell you what. If I get more information, we can premiere it here.
There you go.
How about that?
You premiere it here and we will
be all over that show.
We will. We talk about that show. And the way that
I think the way I would do it is I would probably book two or three shows. It would be Fort Worth, Dallas,
maybe Denton
slash
too.
Denton. Yeah.
Well, we have this idea. I think we've talked about this. Actually, we've got an intruder right now. I don't know if I can talk about it. But we do a lot of stuff with Do Fort Records, and they do a Halloween show every year. The cover sets, right?
Yeah.
So we were thinking, hey, one year, why don't we get with Do Fort and do a Jerry Jonestown Massacre Do Fort production and everybody do cover sets from our local music scene, like Dusu, like Course of Empire. And then we were like, well, if you could do that, then why not just go the next step and do a full-on reunion of all those major
you could
players?
Do that. You could do that and pretend that it's a Course of Empire cover band, and then it actually is the guys. Yeah. That'd be hilarious.
That would be hilarious.
Would be hilarious.
I don't know that we could pull it off in time, but
that's what Metalocalypse did.
The dates are booked.
Yeah, right?
They did that.
Hey, the dates are booked.
Yeah, yeah. Metalocalypse did
it. Will be. This happened today.
Oh, is that right?
I don't know if I'm allowed to say the venues, but books.
Oh, okay.
The dates will be October 26th and October 20 or 25th and 26th.
Mm. Awesome.
25th will be in Fort Worth. Mm. 26th will be in Denton.
Okay.
Mm. So and
interesting.
Venues is a place that's in Fort Worth. It's a place that the acronym weighs a lot.
Right.
Like it's heavy.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know, it's a real heavy joint.
Gotcha. You know, that's one of those places where I wanted it to be bigger. I like going there. Just actually where it is cool and stuff. But like I got in there and I was like, oh, this is this?
You thought it was going to be larger?
I thought it was going to be larger. And I thought the stage was going to feel larger.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying, Daniel? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anyway. Because these guys all wanted to play there. All the Fort Worth guys were like, oh, well, it's all at Mass now.
Well, how many times y'all played there? Just once or twice?
At least twice.
Twice.
Is it twice?
I think we played there twice.
Yeah. Okay. We did Randy's.
We've only played a handful of shows.
Yeah, we did the Synaptic Empire show. Yep.
That's
and
right.
And we did, whatever,
so what do y'all got coming up, the Dagger Club?
This is funny. Okay, I've got this. Literally, just this happened while I was sitting in the car in front of this place. Leroy from Leroy the Prophet was saying that I needed to promote the July 20th show at Lola's while I'm on the podcast. And I replied, and I was like, "What show is that?" And he sent
the
me this
we're
thing
playing
that you on. Signed up on already.
And we're and you, yeah. and you so you knew I didn't have for some reason I didn't write this down.
Yeah,
like I'm just going. How did I not know that I'm playing at Lola's July 20th with Leroy the Prophet? And let me figure out who it's, else.
How
else.
Did we not know that?
Sweet Tooth, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Sweet
Tooth. Must be in Seattle.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Sweet Tooth's little reunion.
God.
Maybe we don't go to Seattle.
I was just like, what the heck?
It's like a birthday party.
He's probably going, Doug, you're the biggest idiot. But yeah, Sweet Tooth, Leroy the Prophet, Dagger Club, Crush Point. Yeah, Lola's July 20th. Yeah.
That'll be a party.
So that's the only thing we have booked, to my knowledge.
Yep.
Unless there's another one that I didn't write down. But, yeah, I think our focus is we're trying to write some more Dagger Club songs, and we would love to get a full set together and do a big, proper show, you know?
A couple of them.
Yeah, at least a couple more songs. But, like, so we have the song that y'all played, which was for the Fort Worth Weekly Frequencies Volume 10, which is great, out on Bandcamp.
Yeah.
And then on our Bandcamp page, daggerclub.bandcamp.com.
Are most of this stuff wrote, like, have y'all been working on this material, or has this been all organic? Like,
so the original three songs, it was Travis and Brian that they got together and just were just hanging out, writing some tunes, got Peter to put some vocals down on it. Mm-hmm. And it was about a year that they were working on it, just kind of fucking around, really wasn't intended to be a band at all. They were just putting some music down, and I think it was actually a July 4th party at Brian's house 3 years ago, two, 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Pete was out, and we're hanging out and talking about putting some drums on it and playing, and it really started, just wasn't supposed to be anything, just hanging out and putting some music down.
Yeah. From Pete's perspective, like, I'm on the other end of it. And I know that Pete was wanting it to be a band, and he was wanting to outfit a band.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it was writing. And then,
and that's all it
once
was.
You all got to the point where there were some drum parts. Or,
we got together
and three
played
songs.
We played live a few times where we're just running through it, and it sounded good.
Yeah.
We're having fun with it.
And that's when Pete was like, okay, I'm comfortable enough with this stuff to talk to Doug about this and actually bring him in.
Yep.
So he called.
It's going to be a real thing.
Got me together. Yeah,
so Doug gets to come in.
We were excited because Pete and I started the band in 2014 with the guitarist and drummer from A Dozen Furies.
I remember
Mike
that.
Miller and Joey Turner, and they are the guys who won the MTV Battle for Ozfest TV show,
right?
And went on Ozfest like 2004, 2005. And Joe is just a phenomenal guitarist. Like, he can literally do anything with like three fingers. And Mike was a great drummer. But they were both almost like ADHD, to where like 1 minute they're into it, and then the next minute they just like completely lost interest. And so they lost interest. And Pete and I were just like, well, we were just to the point where we had played two shows at Lola's and we had momentum. And then they were just like, oh, yeah, well, we're not into it anymore.
Because back then, there was a song floating around.
We had four. We recorded four songs with Braxton Henry.
Okay, so I think I have those
and
four.
And we, so we, yeah.
Didn't you do a video,
we
too?
Put
did
them,
y'all do a video?
We did a YouTube clip of some of that stuff. And then once we built the band back up with these guys, when Southern Train Gypsy stopped playing, you know, and we got these guys into, you know, made it a five-piece band, we decided to start recording. And once we had gotten this stuff together, we decided to pull down the old demos. Those, yeah.
So
since the lineup
playing,
is different.
Are y'all playing any of those four?
Nope.
No.
We just walked away from that
stuff. And we never really, you know, we kind of looked at it as a new
A whole new beginning.
Yeah,
kept the name.
Kept the name, and then just started over new with what this was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and Pete had a band there before that.
He was in a band called White Elephant.
White Elephant, that's right.
Yep. We talked about this the other night. Yeah. He cracked me up one night. They had a show at Trees, and I had always told him that I didn't say I hated the guitar playing, but I didn't like the musicianship. And
their drummer's a real asshole.
I really just didn't. I didn't think it was that great.
Drummer.
No, he's awesome.
I was kind of like, "Why are you doing this, Pete?" You know. And one night, I was over at Three Links, and Pete texts me, and he says, "Do you want to come over and play bass? They're at Trees. Do you want to come play bass at Trees?" And I was like, "Ah, ha, ha." And he was basically serious. He was like, "This crybaby dude is about to walk out of this band. And we might need somebody to come over and play bass for our set."
Did you do it?
No, they ended up playing the gig.
Oh, they did?
And I didn't know. But I was sitting there. I was just cracking up. I was like, "Are you serious, dude?" And he kind of was. But I never liked him.
Grief, yeah.
It was like Pete Thomas and the 20-year-old kids, you know? I was kind of like, what? They just didn't do anything for me.
Huh. That's crazy.
No disrespect, but...
Sorry, White Elephant.
Sorry, yeah. Sorry to take a dump on everything you did.
But. Elephant dump.
Well, I remember the... Travis had told me some stuff. Like, it started,
mm-hmm.
"Hey, you know, I'm kind of jamming around with Pete and stuff." And I was like, "What? You are?" And then the last STG show,
mm-hmm.
when he was there, I'm like, maybe Travis started ain't full of shit. Maybe he's not lying. Maybe he's...
Oh. Yep. Oh yeah, he was deep in conversations with those guys at that point.
Yeah.
Because I remember, because I think wasn't Dwayne the promoter for one of those shows at like Grotto or something?
I'm sure. Yep.
Because I remember when Pete would tell me about shows that Dwayne was promoting.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, "Oh, that's that Dwayne guy."
Yep. Yeah, Dwayne did all of it.
Yeah.
He did it all.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been good. It's been great. You know, we're really happy with it. We love what we got going. We want to be out playing more, but like Doug said, we're trying to write right now. Yeah. And so
it's really
the first three songs that they did, they sat down, you know, it wasn't a band. They just got together and put some music down. So they took it was literally probably a year or more putting those three songs together. And then everything we've had since then has been organic in the practice mm-hmm. room. But it's a bunch of, you know, 40-year-old dudes with careers and families and kids. And you know.
Yeah. I totally get that.
Getting the five of us together in the practice room is a feat. And then, you know, trying to pump something. You know, we get in there, we finally get together to practice, and everybody's looking at each other saying, "Well, you play something. Well, you play something."
Yeah.
And
the cool thing about it is Brian will demo stuff on his, like, 4-track, and he can put together, like, pretty structured stuff mm-hmm. and come to us with that, which is really cool.
That's nice.
So that's what we're doing right now, and we've had a lot of promoters at a lot of clubs, bars that are reaching out wanting us to play.
Yeah.
And we're pissing a lot of them off because we're saying no because we want to focus on writing. And so when we play a show, you know, it's us getting ready for the show.
Yeah.
You know, practicing, preparing, kind of doing mm-hmm. all that thing, and writing goes out the window. So if we've got, mm-hmm. you know, if we're playing 3 or 4 shows this summer, we're not going to get together to write at all. It's just kind of staying maintained, ready for the show.
Mm-hmm.
So we haven't been able to write much. We're really focused on that. We're really happy with that song that we just put out for the Fort Worth Weekly.
That's a badass track.
We had
That's
just
a really good
finished
track.
That song up.
It was perfect timing.
A week before we recorded.
I
think we had just finished that, and we were like, "Fuck it, let's record it."
Yeah, I told Eric Griffey that it was like the perfect timing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it gave us a way to record that song without having to go in and pay for a bunch of tracking. And
mm-hmm.
But we ended up getting, like, some badass drum tracking out of it. And
it was awesome recording.
Over at Niles City.
Our experience there was phenomenal.
Yeah, yeah. Josh did a really great job out there.
Y'all recorded all live?
Yep.
Yeah.
And then overdub vocals, or are those the live vocals with it?
A little bit of overdub, but most of it's live.
Most of it's live. We sat down
and clicked off, and we got about 2 or 3 takes. And
they were flying a couple of pieces around here and there but while we were still there. And then... And then Josh gave Travis and, you know, Dagger Club gave Travis the Pro Tools session and let Travis tweak around on it before. And basically, so basically, Travis did the final mix on that song.
Nice.
And it never even went to Jorts for mastering. You know, I think Travis was saying that his track was like right at the last minute. You know, when, like right when it had to be delivered.
That's awesome.
Yeah, Travis is a badass engineer. He's really damn good.
And he's pretty.
Yeah, right. He's you know, some of that video of us from Sunday looks so weird because Travis, some of his moves, like he looks like the Scarecrow from Wizard of Oz because he's so lanky that he looks like pipe cleaner legs, you know, or whatever.
Yeah. I was noticing that over at shipping receiving. I was like,
he definitely has his own stage.
And he's got some of those moves.
It's different now. It's different now than what it was in Southern Train, because in Southern Train, he had his guitar up so high for so long, and his moves was all.
He's still kind of doing that. He's doing that Beatles head shake thing, you know. He's doing that, and that cracks me up.
Yeah, right.
I like the club guys on SNL. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
It's awesome. No one, I've never seen a heavy guitar do something.
I know,
like
right?
That.
And he's wearing a helmet shirt, you know, and he's
So I've been playing with and watching Travis play since early 2000s to see him go through his phases.
Phases,
yeah.
When I first, we were talking about this the other night at Curtain Club. When I first met Travis, it was at what's that bar in Little Rock?
The
pizza joint that's got the bar, the venue in the back, Vino's.
Yeah, Vino.
Met him at Vino's in Little Rock, and he comes walking in, and this is tall, spiky, you know, bleached streaks in the hair, and he's got a glow stick. He's like got this little like carriage lamp like glow stick he's wearing. No shit, dude. You know, walking in and seeing all his phases he's gone through playing guitar here. Dude's nuts. But, yeah, man, we're really having fun with what we're doing. We want to be out playing. We've had a lot of offers from a lot of people. We're pissing. Jake Norgaard was giving me shit at Lola's the other day. I was at the Foo show.
Oh yeah,
and you know, his wife Michelle, I think she's booking for Tin Panther.
Yeah, we've told Tin Panther no like 4 or 5 times now.
And he was busting my balls
pretty
hard.
And they come
hard.
Up with badass shows like it's it's Me Thinks and. Mm-hmm. Vorvon and whatever the hell else, you know.
I think
and it's
y'all
like,
were supposed to play there with us, and y'all said no.
Yep.
I tried to get you on our bill
and
then,
we tried to get y'all on our bill next month.
Yeah.
Because we made a decision. We made a decision a while back that we said we're not going to book any more
shows.
Stick
with it.
We're going to write. We're going to get a set. Because we had a 6-song set with a cover song. So now we wrote this song, so we've got 6 legitimate songs and getting offered awesome shows. And it's like, yeah, we'd love to play. We can only play for 20 minutes. We can only play for 25 minutes, you know, and that sucks. And it's the same deal like you were talking about Friday night. You know, you kind of get into your groove. We've only got 6 songs. Yeah. I got, you know, friends that are coming out from Dallas to watch you play, and you're on stage for 20, 25 minutes. That sucks.
Yeah.
We want to have a good set to play at shows, to have something to offer people. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of our focus. But we had these couple of shows that popped up. Mm-hmm. So the Fort Worth Weekly Music Festival popped up. The Dillett Curtain Club popped up. You can't say no to those things.
No, there's no way.
No way. Yeah. And so that's what Jake was busting my balls. And he was like, well, why'd you do this? I mean, you hate Michelle. What's going on? Y'all don't want to play? He's like, no, dude, we're not playing. It's like, but you're playing events. 2 shows coming up. You know, it's like, yeah, but those are.
We weren't seeking a show at Curtain Club. It's just a fluke that, you know, they wanted Slow Rope.
You're not going to be able to do it again.
Ever. Absolutely.
So you might as well do it.
And we totally, and like Doug's saying, we back fell into that show because they wanted Slow Row.
Yeah.
And it just happened
to
work
out. We did work on Fort Worth Weekly. Like I cultivated a relationship with Fort Worth Weekly for like months and months.
Like what had really happened was.
Yeah.
But we didn't know that would mean that we would get nominated. And then once we were nominated, it was like, oh, well, we want you to be on showcase. The compilation, you know. And
we all released Sweep the Leg, you know, in the nomination time period.
Yep. Yeah.
I know I put y'all on my ballot when I wrote in, so.
Yep. Yeah.
And we've got everything tracked. We've got all 6 of our songs are tracked. We release Sweep the Leg. Yeah. Travis does all of our stuff. Same thing with every band we've been in with Travis. He does all of our stuff. So we have it tracked. We've got to do vocals on some of it and mix it and kind of get it all ready to put out. So
I was going to say we should probably get him, like put a spark under him to probably do another one.
Yeah, because we were pushing
momentum from these shows.
Yep. So we've got it all ready to kind of mix down and put everything out. We've got kind of pushing for, you know, to kind of have a big launch where we have music to put out. We're going to be booking shows, have merch, and do all that stuff. Ready.
Hit it, running.
We've got to get a couple more tracks, more tunes going. Is just kind of where we're at right
having
now.
Having that discipline right now, though, is good. Getting all that right.
It's hard sticking with it because we're getting offered awesome shows with awesome people, awesome bands, awesome places.
Awesome podcast.
Awesome podcast.
That's right.
That's
right.
Well, I thoroughly enjoy it. I love it. We were talking earlier about, you know, the Fort Worth rock scene and how it kind of fizzled there for a little bit because everything started getting real Americana feeling.
Mm-hmm.
But now with you guys and Duel, Royal Sons, I mean, it's getting good.
Yeah.
It's getting good again. It's some good rock music.
I hope we can play with Duel sometime.
Yeah, I'm sure that's going to happen.
It'll happen. Those guys are phenomenal.
Yeah,
and they're friends. Yeah, or a couple of them anyway.
I can tell you how to bribe Nick.
I was trying to get nice. Jeremy and Che to do a little Huffer reunion at some point. But it
was funny.
That's going to be tough.
I hit him up at Tin Panther the other day, too.
Yeah.
We were talking after. Che was standing right in front of me during the Dusu set.
Mm-hmm.
And when it was done, he turned around and I said, "Don't you wish you were that cool?" He goes, "Yeah, man. I wish I could just do that and have this crowd. Look at Lola's. I've never seen it this pack." I said, "You do realize y'all's final show at Mass was nut to butt ridiculousness."
Yep.
And I was like, "And maybe in 10 years when you do a Huffer reunion show, it'll look just like this."
Yep. Exactly.
It's like their send off show was ridiculous. So.
Oh, it was.
Yeah.
It was a great show. Yeah, I was hanging out at Bold Owl a couple of weeks ago with Che and Jeremy, and was trying to plant that seed, and we'll see what happens.
They're getting hit from everyone.
Yeah.
Mm. Maybe we'll get them, and the circle will be complete again.
Y'all should also play with me, Motor Scooter.
Oh, yeah.
That's my wife's band.
Yeah, no, I've done...
Yeah, that's another rock band. You know,
I've done shows with them. In fact, I gave them their first Dallas show.
Oh, right on.
Yeah, I booked
them. So you're
them.
The one to blame.
Yeah, so okay. Scott Beggs at Three Links had an open date on like a December 30th or something. He's like, "Hey, Doug, you want to put together a bill?" And so it was my band at the time, the Eric Chandler band. Eric Chandler from Bowling for Soup.
Yeah.
I was playing bass in his band. And so it was us and It Hurts to Be Dead from Wichita Falls, and we got Me Motor Scooter and Ten Can Riot. It was Me Motor Scooter's first Dallas show. And ever since then, you know, those guys have been super cool, you know, especially Jeffrey. And like he and I always seem to kind of gravitate toward each other. He's just such a magnetic personality.
Oh, yeah,
he's
like, a good dude.
You can't
a really good
you can
dude.
You can't like not watch the guy when he's playing drums.
Yeah,
he's like animal or whatever.
Yeah,
it's really funny. When I first met him, I thought he hated me.
He
so
did.
I was like, "Why does this guy hate me?"
He did. He told
guy.
Me. He still does.
Then,
he still does.
Then, no,
he's like, keep Zach away from me.
No, he loves me because he told me so. And then,
well, people can say all sorts of shit, but
I don't. Are you calling Jeff Chase a liar?
No, I'm playing with you.
You are calling him a liar, Dustin.
I don't need you to be analyzing this on your drive home. No, I'm joking. It's all jokes.
No, yeah, Jeff Chase, I love you.
Yeah,
yeah,
Chase is good. He's a badass.
Yeah, yeah. My wife plays organ for them.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah, I think I was at her first show.
Oh, yeah?
I think so. I think it was a Grotto show.
Well, her first show, I think, was down in Austin.
Was it? Okay, but
and
they're forced for
and
work.
And then they played,
Yeah, I was at that one.
Well, did they do that just in case she wasn't good?
I don't know.
It stunk up Austin.
Leave
and
her,
be like,
leave
the
her
Grotto,
there.
Right? Drop her off in Waco. On the
I
way
might over. Be wrong. I might be wrong. It might have been the Grotto. I know.
No, you might be right about the sequence of it, though. I vaguely remember they had some kind of a gig. And I don't remember if it was like a Sea Lion or somebody else was on some show out of town. But yeah. I've done
Kyoto
multiple.
Lo-Fi.
Oh, is that? Okay.
Oh, and they're another great badass band too.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so I've done shows with Me Motor Scooter. I don't know that Dagger Club is right for them, but I don't mind playing shows with those guys.
Well, and I mean, Motor Scooters play with just about everybody from every genre anyway.
Right.
So it's like,
right,
you know, it's local music,
and it's not too polarizing between you guys. Matches. You know, it would it would all flow, but
For sure.
Yeah, it's good times.
We've all had sex with the same people and shit. So.
I mean, we're all we're all somewhat related.
We're all Eskimo brothers.
Yeah. Right. Hey, we can just get me to play bass in Huffer.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go.
And then we could just do a.
Oh well, I'm gonna have to step my foot down on that
because I think I'll apply too.
I like watching Sosa.
Sosa's a beast.
I like watching Sosa.
Yeah, he's a beast.
I'll just play drums for him.
Yeah, I don't know. He's kind of
fuck
from
Jeremy.
He's very good. He's a different. He's from a different school.
Just like watching all that hair go everywhere.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think that's what bugged me about watching
what, all the hair.
Yeah,
it does at times make
me. Does it bug you or are you jealous?
It bug. You think? Oh, you think it turns me on?
It does make me hurt when I see it get stuck in tuning pegs.
Oh man! Yeah,
like one. I think at the. I've got a picture at their final show that his hair got stuck in a Chase Boner? Guitar.
Yeah, I vaguely remember something like that happening. Yeah.
So that's painful. What are you doing? Stop.
It's my little boner.
It sounds like a...
Sosa's one of those bass players dude, you watch him play, and he's so all over the fucking place, and you listen to it, and he doesn't miss a fucking note.
No.
Yeah.
And it's un-fucking real how he does that.
Yeah.
And, you know, because I played with Dwayne for so long, and he's a fucking animal, but he never hit the right note. You know, I mean, we'd be playing shows specifically.
He looked badass.
He looked badass. But if you were playing in a place like Curtain Club where it was actually good sound, you're like, fuck, that sucks because they can hear us. You know, we were playing House of Blues. Southern Train was playing House of Blues. And we're up there just fucking doing our thing, going crazy. And I remember I'm looking over at Brian, and I look over at Travis, and we're just all looking at Dwayne. And he's just fucking going nuts. Hair's going everywhere. Beard's going everywhere. And all it is on the bass is just...
Right?
The notes in there somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, at some point he hit it, you know, on the way up or down. But,
hey, man, it worked for Rudy Sarzo.
Yeah.
Some of us do it for the licks, some of us
that's
do it for
kind of
the
what
chicks.
Sosa reminds me of.
Mm-hmm.
He's like a local. He's like our local Rudy Sarzo.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Love watching Sosa play.
Dude, one thing about Dwayne, he would fucking love Dagger Club, though.
Oh,
I thought
dude.
About that when I was watching y'all. I was like, dude, Dwayne would fucking love this shit.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yep. He'd be all over it.
Yep. Yep, he would be. He was going to try to come out. One of our first couple of shows, he really wanted to come out, and he just wasn't feeling it. Wasn't feeling real great.
Yeah.
But, I was always keeping him up to date, sending him some stuff. Cause we try to record in the practice room.
Yeah.
And so we'll set up a little deal to just, you know, because we're fucking old and done a lot of drugs and don't remember shit. And so, you know, got to record it so we don't forget. But
yeah.
I'd send him all those tracks, and he was always just like, dude, this shit's badass.
Cool.
And, you know, all that stuff. You know what's funny is you say that. I think that all the time. A bunch of shows I go to. I think it was the Foo show that I was at, hanging out, watching some bands play. I was just sitting there looking around. I was like, man, fucking Dwayne would love to fucking be here right now.
That was the first thing I thought because this was the first time I saw y'all was the other night at the showcase at Ship and Receiving. There was two things that I really loved about the show. One is, like you were saying, it was stripped down.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like they don't have the greatest PA, but they make it work. And then the sound was going everywhere. But y'all had that vibe, that feeling. And it grabbed everybody.
Yeah.
The other thing was, I was sitting there just going, damn, Dwayne would love this shit.
Yep.
He'd be all over this.
Yep.
I thought about him Friday night over at Tin Panther when Stone Machine Electric was playing.
Oh, yeah.
Because they were, you know, tearing into it, and he's the one who introduced me to them.
Yeah, he introduced all of us to them.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, man, that's how I found out about this band was from Dwayne.
Yep, for sure. Yeah. I think that. Probably 10 times a week throughout my life, I think of everything. But shows and different stuff we go to, I'm just standing looking around, just my Dwayne would love fucking being here, hanging out, drinking, and his shiner bock, fucking sweating.
Dwayne, fucking gnarly beard.
Dwayne would sweat getting out of bed in the morning, beating up, you know.
My God.
But,
Yeah.
That happens, though.
What's that?
We get sweaty in the morning. Right, when
you're getting up. Especially this time of year. Yeah, where you get out of the shower, you're sweating while you're drying off.
So the older I've gotten and the bigger my gut's gotten, I've noticed that when I sweat now, it's in the I sweat in the shape of a heart.
I've done that. Yeah.
I do it. I'm surprised I'm not doing it now.
Like, it's just right there. Like, what the heck?
Nice. Yep.
I've got a heart sweat.
Should do that for a lady sometime.
I'll do it for you,
Doug.
I did this
for you, baby.
So, do y'all know what award y'all are up for?
Hard rock and semi-local band.
Okay.
Yeah, those two.
Those two.
And man, I'm telling you, that
music,
that
rock
hard
song.
Rock category, I mean, it's like the kiss of death, because it's like...
Oh, it's that's difficult.
Every single band on there is a veteran... badass band, you know, and it's like, how do you compete with that?
Yeah.
So I just kind of basically immediately resigned myself the fact that we weren't going to even come close on that one. But who knows? I mean, the Weekly, I mean, they fucking love us. So it's like, I don't know. I don't know if that matters.
They may just sway the votes a little bit.
Right? They just like lose
that
a couple of
happen,
ballot boxes.
Hey, I'm Eric Griffey. My vote weighs 20 pounds.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Right? Right? Yeah. But then semi-local band, Sea Lion is on there.
So as long as y'all aren't going up against Dead Vinyl, you'll be fine.
Mm.
Yeah.
And I can't remember who the rest of the semi-local bands are. I don't know.
We need to check in with Thomas and see if they're still accepting awards out there.
Yeah, I think that last Sunday was the last.
I think Ronald Reagan can come back from the grave and start a band. And Dead Vinyl would beat that band.
Ooh, nice.
That's the strangest
Somebody
thing
was...
you've ever gone to.
Voting.
Oh, voting was. Yeah. Okay.
Somebody was joking about me thinks winning all these awards the other night. I can't remember who it was.
Probably Marlon.
Yeah, I don't know. Right? Yeah, I don't remember.
They're up for weird awards.
Yeah.
They keep making these weird posts.
I think this year we should go with the security team.
I think we may have to hire my plus one, maybe, for security.
Mine, too.
Are y'all going to go
by
Sunday?
By the way, ladies?
Yeah, for sure. We'll probably
have a plus one.
I don't know if we might have all of us there.
I have a plus one.
I'm pretty sure we will be.
Yeah.
Any of you ladies looking for something to do?
Oh, yeah. You need to put this out there.
One.
Matt has a plus one, and he's looking for a lady to join him.
Nice.
Looking for nub in all the wrong places.
He wants some arm candy.
Yeah.
Huh.
While he's walking around.
I'll go with you.
There you go. You can be my plus one.
Y'all are nominated. You get in.
Oh, yeah. You get a plus one, too.
I'll still be your arm candy, though.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Don't turn that down.
I'll just go over there.
There's some arm candy.
The other side of Rosedale. Go get me some.
That sounds like a documentary name or something.
The other side of Rosedale.
Are you talking about a Rosedale girl?
Yeah.
Like, oh, I thought you looked like Rainbow Lounge, that area.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
East Rosedale. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. It's going to be fun Sunday. We're going to set up.
Yeah.
And we're going to do like we did last year. We're going to do half and half.
If I go.
With the Funky Town podcast.
If I don't get a date.
Oh, okay.
Oh. So we're going to do.
Well, you still got a few days.
You do have a few days.
Yeah.
Do you want us to advertise on our Facebook page?
Maybe I'll kick up the Madison or the Ashley Madison account that you started up for me. My last divorce.
That'll be like a
some
desperate MILF wanting to go to a local music award show.
Yeah,
dude, there's gotta be one star studded.
There's gonna be
get that chick who was at the festivals, you know, at the Shipping and Receiving last weekend.
I could.
There you go.
I should have looked her up.
Somebody needs to find her. Hey, if you're
none of these bands are cover bands. You're not going to believe this.
If you're the chick who was talking
to you could tell her there's only one category for cover bands. Everybody else is originals.
Everyone else, and they're from Fort Worth. It's fucking real music. She goes. She turns around and also says, man, it's like they're playing real music.
They are playing real music. What are you talking about?
I was kind of getting high just trying to follow her, you know?
Yeah, she was awesome.
That was crazy.
She was that lady. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
She was all over the place.
It's like they're really playing their instruments.
I'm dropping a special surprise at the award ceremony.
In the bathroom?
Ooh. Upper Decker.
All right. Nice.
Upper Decker.
I thought something was about to happen right now.
Yeah. Oh, no.
You know, I didn't know what an Upper Decker was until a few weeks ago.
When you got one?
No, I heard about it on the ticket. They were talking about it on the ticket radio station.
Wait.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to need security.
For sure.
Oh, shit.
Security.
Good Lord. A special surprise.
No, but yeah, we're going to be out there just like we did last year recording. So if y'all get want to come by and just yell in the microphone.
Absolutely. That'd be fun. Absolutely.
Shoot shit. What's nice. Going on. And, you know, maybe we'll talk to you on the red carpet and see what you're wearing.
Ooh.
Or not what you're wearing, who you're wearing.
Wait, in Fort Worth, is it a different colored carpet? Is it like, I don't know, like the purple carpet or whatever?
It's blood red.
Well, did you see what's going on downtown right now?
No.
Everybody freaking out today?
Uh-oh. Oh, yeah.
So on Main Street, they hung banners all down Main Street that are blue and yellow. And they're atheist banners that say,
"In no God we trust."
Yeah, in no God we trust.
Oh, wow. Sweet, I'm an atheist by the way.
So you can go down there right now, and everybody lost
Those
their
are
shit
my
today.
People, I bet. Oh, sweet!
Like they're freaking out about it, and
that is awesome.
So Betsy Price has put out like a tweet.
Oh God! Oh, I was hoping you were going to say audio. I love listening to her.
I'm Betsy Price.
She's the biggest redneck ever.
I'm Betsy Price. I like the Dagger Club.
She used to put on. Yeah, right? She used to plug the podcast.
I won't diss that.
They play real music out of their real instruments out of Tarrant County.
Hey, I know I'm on a competing podcast, but y'all should check out the Funky Town podcast. I am a co-host.
Yeah.
Listen. You're not a competing podcast.
We would love
podcast.
To have y'all on.
You guys are friends.
Yeah, Zach, you're not a competing podcast.
Oh, okay. So sorry.
Nobody,
you'd have to have
nobody
an audience
can
to
hang.
Be competing.
Nobody can hang
there
with
it
the
is.
Mask.
You didn't hear me.
No, I didn't.
You'd have to have an audience to compete.
There it is.
No. There's no competition. We're all good buddies.
You
we're
listen.
All, we all lovers.
Did you listen this last one?
Yeah, I listen every week.
Then you heard us talk greatly of you, highly of you.
Sort of.
Well, I forget what we
you
said.
You talked bad.
I talked bad? Uh-oh. I don't talk bad. I love Dustin.
So Betsy Price tweeted, "I was appalled when I saw the banners currently being displayed downtown, as I do not support or agree with the message. While many of us may not agree with the message, the organization did follow policies and procedures set forth by the City of Downtown Fort Worth, Inc. We must respect freedom of speech. As we approach the 4th of July, we must remember that many Americans have fought and died for the freedoms we cherish today."
Interesting.
Right. So, okay.
She's bitter at the beginning.
Yeah.
And then,
right.
And then she's okay. But like everybody's ripping her going, "Why were you appalled?" And, you know,
I'm appalled at those rights.
How come people don't freak out when, you know, the banners are, you know,
sure.
Some religious organization, which when these come down, when these do their cycle,
of course they will. Yeah.
The next banners that go up are Kenneth Copeland Ministries.
Of course.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I wonder how much they're going to be selling those banners for.
I don't know. You can probably get out and cut one down and just take it.
I want them to be up.
You can probably get Betsy to pay you to go cut them down.
Oh,
when they take
Betsy
these atheist
together.
Banners down,
yeah,
the next set that goes up is for Kenneth Copeland Ministries.
What?
Yeah.
Isn't he skeevy right and evil?
Yeah. He's a freak.
Yeah,
he's brutal.
He scares me. None of y'all relate to him.
Attack Choppers.
First band I was ever in was with his grandson.
Oh shit!
Oh my God!
I'm just kidding. He's a great guy. He's amazing.
Band was called Jimmy Carter and Me, and our manager was Todd Pipes from Deep Blue Something.
Oh my God! Really?
More Todd Pipes?
Is he into Southern Train?
Everything is connected.
I don't think so.
What about? Have you looked him up any? And
man, like, I haven't talked to that guy.
Did he like Jimmy Carter? Or was he?
I played in a
Jimmy
Christian
Carter.
Band. I played bass in a Christian band when I was a kid. Played with. Do y'all remember Peter King on MTV?
Peter King.
Yeah, he was like a surfer.
Wait, I'm thinking
dude
of the sports guy.
Yeah,
that's what I was thinking. Same, it was same, Peter King.
Yeah, he had a band. I can't remember what it was called. And
it's
we
the
played
same
with
dude.
Him at a church. Yeah.
Wait. What?
No, it's not the same. The sports guy, the Peter King surfer dude, are two different guys.
Oh, okay, I was like, damn, what a
remember,
career jump.
Remember? Okay.
Shit.
I know you remember Dan Cortez.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
He kind of took Dan Cortez's place. Okay. He had a shaved head.
Wow.
Well, he had a punk band or some band, and they were coming to town. God. And the church that my parents and I went to at the time, there was a band there, and I started playing bass with them one summer just because I'd never been in a band. And I was like, fuck it. And we got a show with him, and he like came in from like these two signed Christian bands came in, and we did this big thing at the church. And it was the first time I saw anyone ever play on an orange amp ever. And I was like, whoa, that thing's awesome. Nice. But he was a dick. But other than that, though, let me tell the story again.
Yeah, start from the beginning. Slower.
Right.
Let me ease my pants down.
But yeah.
I've
done some Christian time.
man.
Did you have something you needed to...
Yeah, I have say.
I like this bit.
I'm selling a guitar.
Are we doing the voice game?
It's a Elekka 6-string flaming guitar. Holy cow. This guitar is on fire. Not really, of course.
Why don't you sell it during Pride Month if it's flaming?
At that heckin' sweet flame paint job.
Dustin Schneider.
This guitar was given to me as a gift. It was a right-handed guitar that strung lefty because I'm left-handed. Sorry.
Oh, look at you, Kurt Cobain.
It needs new strings, so...
And chance?
Is there a discount on the since it needs new strings?
Nah, dog.
Uh-oh.
But, I mean, we can make a deal. this deal's hot, so scoop it up fast because it sure won't last.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen.
It's a flaming guitar. Who doesn't want a goddamn motherfucking bitch-ass flaming guitar? Holy shit.
Let me see that goddamn motherfucking flaming-ass guitar.
That's a pretty sweet guitar.
On Tradio?
Yeah, it's...
That's worth at least what you're asking.
Yeah.
For sure. What are you asking?
100 bucks or best offer, or some bass gear.
I got some pizza. What about pizza?
Right.
No.
I got a big muff.
Let's make a deal, baby. Come on.
Nice.
Come on. Let's make a deal. It's hot.
After this, we'll have some podcasting gear we could give.
Yeah. I got a sampler right there by your head. I'll trade you for it.
This guy?
Yeah.
Wow. Let's listen to this voicemail, dude.
You really want to do this? You want to get in this?
I mean, we don't have to. You want to put it off, we can. We got a crazy voicemail, dude, that's... Okay, it's kind of a long story. Kevin is sent us some voicemails. He's is it freshly out of prison or is he still in prison? We can't figure it out. But now his grandfather has called us and left us a voicemail. So I wanted to play it, but if you want to push it off, wait. After I packaged it up like that, it's only like 2 minutes.
Wow!
Oh my gosh!
It's Grandpa. We have to hear from Grandpa.
If you don't
want to
do
that,
I can sell another thing on your.
And then after we're done, he can sell another thing, and then we can read the emails.
It's a full 3 minutes.
Huh. Let's do it.
All right. I'm going to play this. What is it?
Is this Dr. Jerry Jones? The Jerry Jones doctor. My name is Eugene, and I found your business card in my grandson's bag.
Sir?
I've heard him do an old man voice before.
And so I got down something fierce right now. And he's staying with me for the past couple months. And he won't take me to the doctor. So I went through his bag. And I know what you're thinking. He sure be going through his bag. But I told him, Kevin, you staying under my damn house. And you coming in all types of knots, you bringing all types of men and women up in here, and I'm not getting a piece. You know, I gotta use some of your medicine. So, I was really looking for, you know, one of them little blue pills to make my soldier stand straight, you know what I'm saying? But, just in case one of those women gets lost and ends up in Pappy's room. Anyway, I found this number, and I figured it's a Jerry Jones doctor is good. He got his Jerry Jones therapy or something or another on that. But the Jerry Jones doctor good, you know, he must be a good doctor. And I just need some to get my strength back going, because I used to be crazy in the day. Now I'll be lucky if that thing don't get dribbled on my testicle in the morning. You know, I'm sorry if that's a little too much information, but this is a serious problem we got going. Yeah, but I know you guys must be saying that I shouldn't be going through, you know, like my son, grandson's belongings, but we're a God-fearing family here, and we got, you know, honor thy father and thy mother. And hell, he ain't done that none, not even growing up. He used to get so damn worked up at birthday parties, and when he hit puberty, it was the worst.
How long
his
is
cousins
this?
Come over and let me wear his short shorts and this damn heat we got going. And I tell you, that boy will be walking around with a damn pole in his pants just sticking out for everyone to see.
Big ding ding.
Piss me off. I told his dad to go flick it on the fucking head or something. Make that shit go away. Not at Nana's birthday party shit. Anyway, I guess this is a voice, you know, recording box. I'll get back.
And that's where it is. Yeah, with the full 3 minutes.
That's Kevin's grandfather, Eugene.
Kind of. I'd like to hear some war stories.
Who the fuck is Kevin?
He's the guy that we think went to prison, and he keeps calling us because he says his parole officer is asking him to get involved with the community. But the problem is,
I ramble.
You do ramble.
His stories are like he's got a. I don't know. I don't know how to explain him. He's a rapist.
He's a raper.
Yeah.
At some point, he's raped someone.
He has.
And maybe an animal or two.
So he's going to be your plus one?
Yes.
On Sunday?
Eugene, you want to be my plus one?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what.
It's you.
It's not me. I'm not Eugene.
Did you see this email we got from Jeff down in Austin?
No, miss. No, let's see it.
It says, dudes, first off, Matt needs to come down to Austin and let the wolf loose. I want to see him ravage the streets, wrecking scooters and displacing homeless.
Hell yeah.
Second, you guys finally have some females on that hold your shit to the fire. That show was great, and Sheridan is always awesome when she's on the show. You should sign her to a 3-year contract with the show.
Well, it's funny you mentioned.
Oh. And finally, the award ceremony episode was amazing. You guys are genius and should be given more power over everything. I'm going to start a petition at change.org to somehow get you guys in control of things in this state, if not this great country of ours. If you guys ran Congress, things would get done in this country would be greater than it's ever been.
Speaking of that show.
Hold on.
Okay.
In fact, that's your campaign slogan. Make America greater than it's ever been.
Speaking of that show.
Let's do this, boys. I'll be your campaign messenger. In the year of the pig, Jeff and Austin. Nope. It's already made.
Please just like take it down, edit it, my whole section out, and then put it back up.
And I think it's already being used for a song.
Oh god!
And then we have one more, which I think
I got a little honest on the last week's podcast.
We have another guy that emails us every once in a while. His name is Pancho Villa. He's the Bob Villa of Mexico.
Ooh, nice!
And he's been doing some Taco Casa remodels. Hola, amigos. I wanted to check in and tell you that my show, This Old Casa, brought to you by Taco Casa, has really taken off. Each episode is 45 minutes long and is a remodel of a different Taco Casa each week.
Jeez.
We just did one in Paris, Texas, and they tried to get me to speak French, a Mexican speaking French. Imagine that. They even wanted to change my show to Le Old Mansion, brought to we by Taco Mansion. It just doesn't have the same sound to it. So I got those amigos in Paris drunk on tequila and pissed in their wine bottles.
Aww.
Did you know the French didn't even have the courage to stand up to the greatest leader of all time, Antonio de Puerta Maria Servino Lopez de Santa Anna, or just Santa Anta for you Texans? Speaking of the Alamo, we were talking with the network about turning the Alamo into a Taco Casa in a special episode of This Old Casa, brought to you by Taco Casa.
God.
That property has pretty high value, and it's about time that it starts making some money for the city of San Antonio. Would you guys like to be some extras at that taping? Just let me know.
Buenas
noches, amigos. Pancho Villa.
Hell yes.
Nice.
So there you go.
We get free tacos if we do it?
Just war reference today.
How can you beat their deals, though?
You can't.
You're practically giving them away.
I mean, come on. Let's think about this. The Alamo would be the perfect Taco Casa, right?
It really would.
They got that room in the back?
Yeah.
That's through the kitchen.
And they got a basement where the bicycles are?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So why not?
Yeah.
Jeez. Hmm.
So that's that. Those are those.
That's that.
That's the emails and voicemails. Thanks a lot, everyone.
Hey,
thank you.
We enjoyed it.
You can send more to us.
Oh, you got another ad?
Oh, what?
Hey,
one more spot?
Yeah. If
are we back to Tradio?
If you're interested, listen to Jerry Jones Town Massacre saying, I got some cash to burn. I got a little dime in
all
my
our listeners have money, by
yes,
the way.
Yes, I know that. That's why I came on here. I got a little Line 6 Spider 3 15-watt amp. going for sale. It's a decent little practice amp for what it is. A little dusty from lack of use, but everything else sounds great. There's no static in the pots at all. And yes, the tone is insane. All the effects work well, and if you blindfold the nearest snobs, you may even get them to admit that it sounds good.
That's a Line 6 practice amp for what, $30?
I have it listed for $60, but let's make a deal, baby. Come on. Come on over. Come on. Let's make a deal.
Well, you know, you've already done the hard part, because everybody has to own something Line 6 sometime in their musical career.
Not me. Nope.
And now you're getting rid of it.
I'm not going to lie. I have a practice amp.
You never had a bass combo. Pod?
No.
The kidney bass pods?
Nope.
I did.
Nope.
It's aggravating.
The closest thing I have is the Pandora's box, which was like the little headphones thing that like simulated, you know, like a Marshall or whatever. You plug into it and you practice in your headphones. No.
Well, that's okay. I mean, that's basically what that amp is.
But if you want to join modeling, the legacy of musics and get a Line 6 musicians, get a Line 6 amp, get it from me. It sounds great. If there's no music snobs around.
Line 6.
Well, most of the time when you use an amp like that, you do it alone in your house where no one else can hear
it's
you.
It's also a great cup holder for Monster Energy drinks.
There you go.
Hmm.
Or cigarettes.
There was a Line 6 head on the guitar cabinet that Travis played through.
On Sunday?
On Sunday, yeah. Somebody was running a Line 6 head on that thing.
I think it was there on Saturday, too.
Maybe. Probably there maybe. Just for show.
I think maybe. It was the backline. Like an old Veta head or Veta 2 head or something like that.
It was, kind of.
Veta's the one that was tubed with the effects, right?
Modulation. You could program it from your computer.
Was it?
Interesting.
I had a USB port. You could plug into it and change everything up.
Yeah, and the cab, it was custom with a K, you know, K,
Yeah.
Custom.
It's like a 410 or whatever.
That's David O'Hearn's favorite setup, is a Line 6.
Hmm. Wow.
He doesn't leave home without it.
Jeez.
Yeah, if Dave wants to bring that tone home.
And actually, I do have some gear that I could sell, not just basses.
Do you want to start training?
I've got an Ampeg SVT 3 Pro head bass.
Oh, come on, Doug, pitch it, man.
Right, and this thing is great, and
it weighs 7,000
It was previously
pounds.
Owned by Zach Busby, who played in with Casey Hess. Played with, in what was that? Oh my God, Burden Brothers.
Yeah,
played in Burden Brothers. Played with.
He didn't do Mermaid Person.
Played in Slow Roosevelt with Pete. Now he plays in Woe Fat.
But is it hot, hot, hot?
And it's hot, super hot.
Hot, hot. Yeah, but it weighs a ton.
It's heavy. It's not as heavy as the Heart Key that I replaced it with, but it's heavy. Yeah. And it's a great little thing. It just didn't get enough power for me to play alongside Travis and Brian.
Well,
because they're loud guitarists. I had to like triple the wattage, basically.
Yeah, I'm kind of fighting that battle now. I thought I had a badass rig for all these years.
I really did too.
And then I start playing with Peter and Dave. And it's just like, But they.
I went from like 425 watts to 1200.
Yeah,
1200 is damn good.
I'm bridging my SVT 7 Pro.
Oh, the 7. Okay, nice.
To try to push the.
Is that the one with that has a graphic EQ on it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess I'm pushing 1800 bridged.
Is that right?
It's either 1800 or 2400 bridged.
Sweet.
Into the 810 high power.
Oh, okay.
Not the regular SVT 810, the 810 high power.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still like, why are you guys so much fucking louder than me?
Oh, wow. See, now I got a Heart Key.
Loud.
I got
That's
a Heart Key.
Loud.
Heart Key LH1000, which is like an 1100 or 1200 watt output and four ohm. Yeah. And that thing. Yeah, I'm pushing 1200 into an SVT. I mean a SWR 610.
Hey, that's, you need a 115 to round out that low end?
Maybe. Maybe. I do like I had never played a 15 until like this year and I kind of like it. But here's the deal.
And
I need
or bass gear.
I need the driver.
Zach, why don't you start selling advertisement for our show?
Dude,
you're a pusher, man.
I'm really good.
You'll find the deals. Yeah. You'll get us some free pizza for
what
sure.
What do we got to do to... We'll lure you away from that Funky Town podcast. Yeah. You can come work with us.
Right?
These guys are losers over there.
Put them those zeros start, and get with the heroes.
If y'all would start your podcast
put them out
like
on the street with a microphone.
Earlier.
Yeah. By the way, it's getting late.
It kind of is.
It's almost night time for me. We need to wrap it up.
Right. I think my next way I'm going to solve my entire tone issues is a dark glass 900. Bam.
Oh.
Because I played with one down in Austin and fell in love, and that thing weighs lighter than my laptop.
And I just got a PF500. I was surprised at how good the PF500 was. The Ampeg. I play it through the SVT that that you sold me. SVT 410. And I don't play heavy stuff. I played folk rock, and then I played kind of like rock. It sounds pretty good. Just, I'm not needing to blast anybody out.
No, you're not trying to get into tone wars and, loudness battles.
Yeah, loudness battles. It sounds great as far as tone.
When you're in heavy bands, it turns into loudness battles. And the problem it almost always is, I don't know about y'all, it's always fighting the drums.
No, no, so here's the deal.
In our case,
yes, you're right.
Daniel is trying to play as loud as these damn guitarists.
No, so you're right, and that's what we always say. Well, we got to keep up with you.
Oh, my God.
So that's what they say to me, right? So we're sitting there practicing. We'll write new songs that are just like, 9,000 BPM, and I'm back there sweating. I can't move my legs. I'm like, watch this. I won't play my kick drum for two fucking songs.
Yeah.
Just hi hats and staring up, looking around, and everybody's just, oh, dude, that was badass. It was right there. It was fucking like, awesome,
no bass
dude.
Drum.
I'm like, no.
See, that would screw me up, being a bass player. I like hearing the kids.
You wouldn't be able to hear it in our practice room. No. You wouldn't be able to hear it.
I have
That's
that
every band
Andy.
I've been in.
Yeah.
See, I'm not experienced. I mean, I'm a little younger. It's no secret.
In love.
But,
in sex.
I always I try to keep it as low as possible. If everybody can be as turned down as possible, that's where I like to play.
That's so lame. Un-American.
That's terrible.
Well, whatever. I steal where you're playing.
We used to practice before Southern Train. It was me, Dwayne, Travis, and Brian. No singer. It was just music. And we were at a place out in Dallas. And whenever we went to practice, the four rooms around us, they stopped practicing because they couldn't hear themselves because we were in there.
Yeah, I wonder if that's the same place we're at now, because that's what happens to us on Thursday nights.
Yeah, the old Dagger Club lineup did the same thing. We cleared that shit out.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I was
I've
one
heard
of those
people
bands.
Talking.
Yeah.
Like when I was walking in.
Yeah.
I heard some guys out front, they're like, well, we have about another hour before we're not going to be able to hear ourselves anymore. And it was the people in the room next to us.
Yeah.
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 We were. Yeah. It was right off of, real close to downtown.
Yeah, that's probably.
Mockingbird behind the McDonald's?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, it's probably that one.
It was in the fucking hood.
I told you about my conversation with Dodie about
tone. Yeah.
Like it was like a school
one. Off
or
of Singleton.
Yes.
Deal. What was... Oh, it wasn't
it was like two-story?
Yes. Yeah, yep, yep.
I went in there.
And the basement would like flood and stuff. Yeah, I remember that place.
I always thought someone's going to die in that
For
joint.
Sure.
There, like, I think there has been people that have
weird.
Died there.
Probably so.
Yeah.
And there was wasn't there an internet radio show someone was doing from there for
and
a while?
There was like a
studio
in there.
Down
yeah.
somewhere.
Yep.
Like somewhere there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was on that first, not the bottom floor, the middle floor.
Yeah.
Yep. I got mashed up on that.
I went over and bought a
back in the Steadfast days.
There was a gun shop over there.
No, it was a 412 cabinet I went over there, bought from some dude, and he's like, oh, yeah, we're over at this practice place. I pull up, I was like,
yeah.
At this school?
Yeah. Yep.
Like, what is this joint?
Yeah.
Walk in there, it's creepy as hell.
We had a blast.
Yeah, it looks like
there.
Something from Chernobyl.
Huh. Yeah. I think our room that we practiced in was the old janitor's closet. It was like real skinny.
Bunch of boilers in there and stuff.
Yeah. Oh, pretty much. Yeah.
God. Oh, good times. Well, I'm glad you guys came in.
Thanks for having
us.
Thank you very much.
Especially on the short notice, too. That's really cool of y'all.
Well, when y'all get closer to having a product, we want to get you guys back in to push it and promote it
and we'll be able to bring the full crew. We'll
Hell
plan
yeah.
it out.
We'll get Zach selling y'all's hard copies, man.
To say.
We'll get Zach can babysit Travis's kid.
What? I'll sell the kid.
Could that be a bit? Would be a bit for the show?
That'd be a funny bit right there. Tell Travis to bring him out Sunday, and we'll see Zach.
Human traffic.
It's going to end up on the Facebook Marketplace. Yeah.
Oh my god!
Holy shit! This kid can bounce high.
Right. This kid has a filthy mouth.
Yeah. Or you just bring a list of gear, Doug, next time and give it to Zach, and he can read it off during the show and more trading.
I will do any, and my wife will appreciate any effort that I put toward trying to sell this gear.
See, I live in a small apartment. That's why I'm doing it.
Oh, yeah. I'm doing it because I'm just going broke, man.
Right.
I've doubled or tripled the number of beings in my house in the last year.
So let's make a deal.
Right?
Humans for gear or what? Like, what's happening here?
Where is this going?
Gear for gear?
Yeah.
Things just got really weird.
Yeah. Cool.
Anyway, all right, yeah, we loved having you guys in. We'll do it again.
Absolutely.
And love what you guys are doing. It's amazing. It's badass.
Thank you so much.
So, and Matt, next time I see you, will be Sunday.
Sunday.
And if a girl does want to be your arm candy for this Sunday, how would they get a hold of you?
DustinSchneider@gmail.com.
Facebook.com/daggerclub.
There you go.
We'll relay the message.
If you buy an amp or cab or guitar from Zach Zantich,
get a discount on the date.
He'll hook you up.
Instagram at Dagger Club. There you go. Send a picture of yourself.
682, if you want to leave a voicemail, 682-593-JJTM. Matt will check it. He'll see if you're...
I'll check it daily.
He'll see if you have sexy smoker's voice, and if you do, you're in.
Yeah.
That's the way it goes.
Boy, yeah.
All right, let's get out of here.
Goodbye.
Later.
Wax wings, learn to run.